about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
What's this?
Oh, that's a CB. What'd you do with that as you push down on that thing and hold that other thing down? And it makes your voice go up in radio waves.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Good evening, everybody. It's now 5:30.
And you're Paul Moyer.
That's right.
Hey, kids, can you say pendejo?
Peanut butter jelly.
Samantha, what's your question for Heidi and Spencer?
My question's for you, Heidi. Do you still wear the engagement ring that Spencer has gotten you?
No, I need a new one. I'm over that one.
And now...
Die!
Our feature presentation.
I love them. Love Heidi and Spencer are my favorite.
They're the best.
You haven't been watching The Hills this season.
No.
By the way, Kevin and Bean Show, Wednesday morning, your calls for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Coming up, 1-800-520-1067. Heidi insisted that they go to marriage counseling. And you've never seen someone with a worse attitude or less committed to communication than Spencer in marriage counseling.
Really?
It's hysterical.
What a surprise. Why would she even think that that might possibly work?
He was kind of stepping out on her with a bartender, and she basically gave him an ultimatum that she wasn't going to date him anymore unless they did. By the way, it's a little bit anticlimactic to follow a show that is, you know, essentially scripted, let's face it. And,
yeah.
You know, you're watching a show of them struggling to stay together when you know that they've already gotten married.
Yeah.
Kind of takes the fun out of it a little bit.
For
you know?
Real this time, though. Actually
yeah,
married.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, but you thought he was a douche before from what you knew about Spencer. This season, he's off the charts.
He's cranked it up even over last year.
It works for him. That's
it
the
works
thing.
For him.
It totally does.
It does
yeah.
for now.
I saw a clip on The Soup of that bartender, that the woman having a
yes.
confrontation with Heidi, which was awesome.
Yes.
Because basically she just says at the end, you know what, Heidi? I feel sorry for you. Good luck.
Wow.
Like, boy, you can have
you
him.
You can have him. Don't need the headache.
100 times over. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a tool that's making millions of dollars for doing nothing but being a tool.
Yep.
That's true, but
he does have that figured out.
But people have a way of, at the first opportunity when they can, they will turn on you if you're an idiot like he is. You know what
right.
I mean?
Like, well, and, right. I think about that sometimes. I think about The Hills is not going to go on forever. I mean, it almost got canceled this upcoming season. And as soon as The Hills ends, I think his expiration date
right.
draws close, and then he ends up being Screech. He just ends up being that annoying guy that used to be on TV that now does nothing.
That everyone hates. And they're happy that he's not doing anything, and they want to keep it that way.
I hope
exactly.
that's true. But
yeah.
doesn't it seem like the 15 minutes of fame for everyone is getting extended? Like all of these reality show stars that we thought would
it
go
does.
Away that aren't
yeah.
going away.
It does,
it's
but
worrisome.
He's a unique guy who doesn't just, he's not just lame and bad in every way. He's actively poking people in the eye with it. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like
yeah.
he's way more, I don't know, just
hateable.
Just
I hope you're
in your
right.
face hateable. Other people but, might be hateable, but they're trying and they're just bad.
Right.
But
yeah.
Lisa's right, though. People like Omarosa still show up at things.
Yeah, but
know?
No one cares.
Like, she should be long forgotten, but she still has some sort of career.
Yeah.
You're totally right. The 15 minutes of fame for the talentless people has been extended.
Yeah.
But I also think it makes us appreciate people who have talent even more so nowadays. Even younger kids can appreciate someone who's really good at something
it's
because
true, yeah.
the market's been so saturated by people who aren't.
But the people who aren't shouldn't have anything.
Yeah, well, they do.
That's the thing.
Yeah,
that's
no,
the way
right,
it works.
Right.
Well, when they start you know, handing out declarations that you got no talent, you can't have anything, kiss this show goodbye. For starters.
At least we try.
We've been coasted as long as anyone.
Get up and try.
All right, time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
It's
Six Flags Magic Mountain has the brand new ride, Terminator Salvation. You walk in front of the ride, and then it berates you publicly. It just screams at you, which sounds like a lot of fun, but you can be among the first to ride it. Tomorrow night, our friend Nicole Alvarez is going to be there as we kick off the summer. Those are the tickets you get. Ride the rides with no lines. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, we might as well start with Jose. He's on line three since he's calling with something that's on a lot of people's minds today.
Hey, Jose.
Hey, Jose, what'd it do?
What'd it do?
I like that he says hi to himself.
That's you, Jose.
Says hi to himself first.
Hey, how about Ariza coming up with that steal?
How about that?
Getting those six clutch free throws in the last couple minutes.
How about that? Lakers led for a minute?
They led when it mattered.
Not very long. Yeah.
But at least at the end, which is good.
Yes.
Right. The only thing that everyone's been making fun of their defense, and Ariza comes through at the last minute. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was,
it was a great steal.
That was amazing.
Great steal.
Kobe not only played very well and scored, you know, I think like 38 or 39 points.
40.
He
40, yeah.
He showed great leadership at the end of the game. He really did. That was very comforting as a Laker fan. There were two or three plays where he did the exact right thing. Instead of just throwing up a shot that you might see him do two or three seasons ago. For instance,
way you could bring this sentence to a close.
Right after the steal from Ariza, he didn't, without hesitation, he just put his head down and drove to the lane and got to the free throw line again. It was incredible composure at the end of the game.
Yeah, there was a lot of conversation about LeBron getting the MVP, and he probably deserved it this year over Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather have Kobe as a closer.
On your team.
That's what he's best at.
As a closer, I'd rather have him than any person on the planet.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, Jose. And I'd also like to add this, and I know that you guys have noticed this as well. Look, I love high-definition TV as much as the next guy, but isn't there too much sweat in basketball for high-definition TV? Do you almost wish they'd dial it back?
Well, there is a lot. I mean, you
like,
do
put
see...
a filter on it or something, because, some of these guys, like Chauncey Billups last night, he looked like he was underwater every time they showed him.
Yeah. Yeah. You think they need a sweat filter?
I do. I think they do. Like some of the older actresses, they have a gauze that they put on the lens.
It's
a
like
soft focus.
Vaseline or something that they put on the
like
lens.
Like Barbara Streisand, I think, makes them do that for some of their interviews now so they don't look bad. They almost need that for basketball. They need to figure out a way to ring out some of the players so that you can't see it.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I like it. But maybe they have a close-up camera that they could do that on and put the soft focus on. Everything
that
else
would
is
be nice.
Normal high def. Tony, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
What'd it do?
What'd it do, Lisa?
What's going on?
I want to talk about the Clippers. So let's say they got the first draft and the pick.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to get a guy from Oklahoma. You think they'll screw that up too?
Yes, I think they'll get him and they'll lose him. I think both things will happen.
They're still owned by the same guy, right?
Yeah.
Very few professional sports franchises can you count on doing a bad thing.
Right.
You can count on it. Most teams at least stumble into doing the right thing on accident.
It's so funny because the perfect example is you look at where the Cavaliers were before they had the opportunity to draft LeBron James and how they built a franchise around him and turned the team into a winner. Turned the team into not only a great team, a team that's already been to the finals the last few years, is probably going again this year. The Clippers will have that first round draft pick and they'll still never make it past the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
They've had nothing but good picks and good players and just can't put it together.
Yep, that's a bummer, and I'm sure the dude from Oklahoma is like, oh God, please no, please no.
I'm a millionaire, but I'm going to be losing.
Exactly.
Let's try Greg. He's on line six. He's got some concert news for us. Hey, Greg, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. What'd it do, my friend?
Hey, what'd it do, you guys?
What's going on?
Hey, just a heads up. Well, I went to that Nine Inch Nails Jane's Addiction concert last Saturday night in Chula Vista down in San Diego.
They call they call it Ninja for Nine Inch Nails and Jane's Addiction. The Ninja Tour, yes.
And the most interesting thing I thought was Nine Inch Nails came on before Jane's Addiction did.
Really? Mm-hmm. They opened for Jane's?
Yeah, and that's not the way it showed on the ticket. And everybody in the entire place, 5,000 people or something, were kind of surprised. They were thinking, well, is this another open band? Who's this? And it wasn't even dark by the time they came on. They played for maybe an hour. It's pretty good. I mean, Jane's Addiction kicked their butt anyway.
So do you think that there were probably some people who thought Jane's would open and showed up late and missed some of Nine Inch Nails, the band they were there to see?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everybody was surprised. And so, But Perry Farrell, for being about 50 years old, that guy just gets it on.
He's amazing. I find it hard to believe that Jane's Addiction blew away Nine Inch Nails, but Jane's Addiction is amazing, and he's a great front man.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, Nine Inch Nails didn't even have an encore. They just said, thank you very much. Trent threw his guitar in the air, and it crashed all over the stage, and they were gone. Jane's Addiction came on and had a number of encores, and just the whole production and everything, it blew my mind.
Yeah. Well, you know, opening bands are the bands that go first never have an encore, but you would think if it's Nine Inch Nails, they would. But I'm just going to say one thing, and that is NBA playoffs. You know, so probably Nine Inch Nails went, let's play first. There's a game on.
That's a good point.
Let's go on at 5 so they could get home and watch TV. Thank you for the call. All right, let's see here. Where do we want to go?
Well, why don't we close with John? Because this has been, it's been too comfortable and too clean so far this morning.
Yeah.
Let's make people miserable.
Hey, John.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
What's going on?
Yeah, the other day I heard Adam online on, and I was, it just killed me. So
Adam Carolla, who does This Week in Rage on our show on Fridays now.
Yeah, I heard him tirading about toilet teeth, and it's true. It's so hard to, like, aim straight down the middle on those broken toilets.
Right.
So instead of just concentrating, you know, I had to make a trip to City Hall. So I was squeezing and pinching, and I hit every toilet.
Wow.
Oh,
wow. So you went the other way on purpose.
On purpose.
Just hoping that Adam Carolla would show up at that building right after you.
I was hoping.
And melt down.
I was hoping.
All right. That's the kind of following that we love. That's the kind of person that goes out and says, what annoys them? I'm going to do that more. I like that.
So John is the phantom peer. That's what we've learned.
Mm-hmm. You did the right thing.
Okay. Thanks for calling. I'm not going anywhere with you.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
It's Wednesday the 20th of May. I see them.
Look at me. I've got girl boobs.
Those aren't the kind of boobs we wanted.
On today's show, we have Ralph's Rant.
What now?
You'll find fascinating. I don't even want to begin.
Okay.
Because
just let him do
it's got to get old being wrong all the time. You know what I mean? It's got to get old.
It's got to get old being mad all the time, too.
That for sure.
Kevin, I mean, instant request today that I think you'll love.
Okay.
We have Jesus showing up in what are they, Cheez-Its or something?
Cheetos, yeah.
Cheetos, yeah.
Oh, I love Cheetos.
Yeah.
Cheetos and Jesus.
Yes.
That's the best.
Yes. So we got that for you. The most disgusting place you ever had sex. That's bad. We saw somebody at a porta potty, and that seems like nobody.
How can you top that?
I don't know.
What could be worse?
I don't know. I don't know.
Landfill?
I don't know that it's possible. Landfill's at least out in the open air.
Swimming pool full of hypodermic needles?
Maybe. Maybe. We also have Anton Yelchin.
Hey!
No.
Oh, no?
No.
Of course, is in Terminator Salvation. Was also in Star Trek.
It's in Star Trek, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, he's the Russian guy.
Yeah.
He's
Chekhov.
He's Chekhov,
exactly.
Right. I take back the high then.
So that's coming up along with your Green Day tickets. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Ralph Garman is here. Time to take a look at the Showbiz Beat for a new day. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, guess who's coming to defense of Mel Gibson's new girlfriend?
Who?
Her mommy. That's nice.
The girl's mom?
Yes, Oksana Grigorieva.
She sounds hot, too.
Her mother, that's the name of the girlfriend. Yeah. The mother's name is Ludmila Chernuka.
Not hot.
She still lives back in Mother Russia. And apparently she's telling People magazine that her daughter, Oksana, is not a homewrecker. She says that Mel left his wife Robin 3 years ago. And was bound to meet someone eventually, so it might as well be her daughter. Ludmila wouldn't say anything about expecting a grandchild, but she does tell People magazine, just wait for the official statement.
Homewrecker.
Giving them the idea that apparently they will be talking about the baby soon. So we'll have to wait and see.
Okay.
But if they split up 3 years ago, maybe what some are suggesting is how about going ahead and getting that divorce?
Dude, he's Catholic. He can't get a divorce.
That would be wrong. That's true.
He's got to just get another woman pregnant.
Apparently that's okay.
That's how they roll.
So picky, Bean.
Yeah. Learn something, won't you? Hey, why isn't this not working?
Ooh,
there we go.
Turns out it is.
That was weird. That.
Operator error.
Kate and John Gosselin.
Yes.
People are speculating as to why they are not making a big fuss over the allegations that both of them have strayed from their marriage and cheated with other people.
Right.
Well, now we may know why. I hope to God this is true. I never really had much interest in Kate and John at Plus 8 until this all this stuff started breaking out. This is great stuff. According to Radar Online and a secret source inside the production of their TV show, Kate and John, John and Kate Plus 8, there is a contract between John and Kate where John is allowed to date other women as long as he shows up for filming of their hit reality show.
Is that right?
They have an arrangement.
When would this have happened, this contract?
The mom of, let's see, this is Kate's brother and sister-in-law.
Okay.
Okay.
Are claiming that John has a contract with Kate that allows him to date other women. John told Kate the relationship was over some time ago, but she wanted to keep doing the show, and so they set up something in writing to maintain audiences seeing a happy marriage on television.
How about that?
So it used to be stay together for the kids. Now it's stay together for the show.
Exactly.
Well, look, if you're going to raise 8 kids, you need the money from that show.
I just think that's the best. Apparently, Kate just loves being on television, too.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yes, she does.
When did this happen, Lisa? The second she started screaming at him, which I'm sure happened right after the vows.
Yeah. I don't know how he kept his lunch down long enough to have sex with her to get 8 kids.
Yeah.
Plus, they had the 2 before that.
Yeah, I know. It's madness.
And she, you know, she wants to make a career out of this. She's written books. She's, she's talking about getting a talk show. I mean, she really wants to extend this.
That's a deal breaker, ladies.
That's right.
Patrick Swayze is not dead, so stop emailing me and telling me he's dead.
I'm not dead yet.
Rumor all day yesterday.
He's not dead.
Not
dead. Not dead. The opposite of dead.
Still alive.
Sucking oxygen.
All right.
He is still alive. Apparently, it all started with a website called BuzzNewsroom.com, which is what's called a collaborative news blog, which means they will print pretty much anything from anybody, from any source.
And no one takes responsibility.
Yeah. They claim that they got it from a radio show. Oh, screw you. And then apparently it made its way to Twitter, and then there was no way to pull back the news after that fact. It just spread like wildfire. Wow.
No real fact-checking going on with any of those services.
Not with blogs or Twitters or any of that stuff. Twitter's getting to be a real problem for people. Yesterday there was a big problem with some sports stars who were claiming to say one thing, and they published it. I think Sports Illustrated put it on their website, and ESPN did. It turned out these people don't even have Twitter accounts.
Most of them
weren't the real people.
Yep.
So a lot of people are getting their news from this BS thing called Twitter.
Dave,
the King of Mexico, is offender number one.
Yeah. You know, it's good. You get the news right away. It's all wrong, but you get it quickly.
He uses it for backup for any of his
theories. No, Twitter verse says it. It says it in the Twitter verse. Shut up.
Ralph, I do follow Terrell Owens on Twitter, and it is the real him, and it's you've never seen something more worthless that contributes less than T.O.'s Twitter.
Then why are you following his Twitter?
That's a great question.
Just because I think one day maybe there'll be something of interest. So far, no.
Do you really have that kind of freed up time in your life where you can dedicate your things then maybe someday, one day, something interesting might happen?
Yes,
really?
It takes a second. I mean, he's the kind of guy that Twitters Lakers win up 1-0. I mean, that's the kind of Twitter that you get from T.O. Like,
well, thank God he was giving you that info, or else you have no other source to find out that information.
Right.
Speaking of T.O., did you guys see on SportsCenter they played a highlight of him doing the sportscast in Buffalo? Where he's going to play, and he was the sportscaster on the news, and he's like, in sports, I showed up at camp today. Here's what I had to say. It was relatively funny.
No, look, trust me, they're going to have a great 1 year with him.
Right.
They will have a lot of fun for a year.
First year will be good.
That's right.
And everything will go right to hell.
And it's like marrying Kate if you're John. First year's great. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, he's screaming in your face.
Yeah.
First 10 games, 11 games, then the cracks begin. And then you hate him by the end of the season.
It was great on NFL Live on ESPN. They were talking about poor Trent Edwards, young quarterback for the Bills. Saying that, look, this guy has destroyed quarterbacks with
established quarterbacks
confidence and a career behind them. You know, made them
Hall
nuts.
Of Famers. Yeah.
What's this jittery rook going to do when T.O.'s nattering in his ear in the huddle? What's going to happen to this guy? Will he be able to develop? And they think he's got a lot of potential, but they're just concerned what's going to happen to him. So
he'll just melt right on the field.
Could be an interesting season. Amy Winehouse is doing a documentary on her life.
Yes.
Thank the Lord. People Magazine says she is shooting a documentary at her house on St. Lucia in the Caribbean. And she says she wants to show everyone her real side.
Who would not watch that?
I would in a heartbeat.
Right? You would, right?
I'm all about this new self-documentary process, yeah. By the way, with Ozzy and Tyson and now Amy.
She's a disaster.
She will talk about the escape of her drug problems.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we hold off on calling it an escape?
Just make sure you escape
maybe
first.
You're in the lead, but just don't look over your shoulder.
So you can perform one concert sober.
Yeah. Apparently, a woman named Daphne Barak will be interviewing Amy, and this news was posted on her MySpace page, so no word exactly when we can look forward to seeing this, but look forward to it we shall.
Oh,
I'm sure it's convoluted, wrong, and stupid.
And the latest rumor today is that Chase Crawford, Private Eye. No, I'm sorry. He's the star of Gossip Girl, apparently. We'll be picking up the Kevin Bacon role in the remake of Footloose instead of Zac Efron. So apparently the film is scheduled to begin shooting in March of next year. And Chase Crawford will be cutting
loose.
Footloose. That's what he'll be doing.
What do you think the level of interest is in a Footloose movie?
I think with Chase Crawford... Mm-hmm. Or a Zac Efron type, I think it'll be something for the
girls.
Because
it's new to their fans.
Something for the High School Musical crowd.
I think it'll be relatively popular. I mean, I think that movie's a classic, right? Even though it's goofy and...
It was classic for the generation that grew up watching it. You know? And I think they might go to see a remake, but I think more importantly, this will feed the High School Musical crowd that needs, you know, new stuff to enjoy. And I think that certainly will. I just hope they put Let's Hear It for the Boy.
Oh, me too.
Remember that song, Let's Hear It for the Boy?
No.
Denise Williams, I think.
I don't believe I ever heard that, actually.
Some people, it's so funny. Some a-holes would call her Niecy.
What?
Yeah, it's true. Even if they didn't know her, they'd act like that was her nickname, and they'd call her Niecy. And they would, you know, talk about the fact it came from Footloose. I mean, I remember this one DJ one.
PGC, I still love that song. From Niecy. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
When do we get our murder button?
That's, hey. That's Bean.
I'm going to send that over to Amp, see if they're hiring.
Bean in the early days.
I think Bean could pick up a shift.
When he was known as Flash Phillips.
Today's celebrity,
who's less a flash?
I'll tell you what, it's all true.
Who's less a flash than Bean?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Joe Cocker. He's 65 years old today. Legendary singer Joe Cocker. He's 65. Actress Cher. Singer-actress. 63 years old today. Have you seen her in the body stockings? Here in the body stockings she came out in the other day?
No.
She came on stage in a body stocking.
Still doing that.
At 63, I got to tell you. Not a lot of women can wear a body stocking.
No kidding.
She looks pretty much the same as she did 20 years ago when she was wearing a body stocking. Jane Wedlin of the Go-Go's is 51 years old today. Bronson Pinchot. Remember this dude's career?
Yeah.
Perfect Strangers. He was Balky on that show.
Yeah.
Sure.
He was, that's not sexy, that's Animal, the guy from Beverly Hills, Beverly Hills Cop.
Mm-hmm.
Huge career, monster career.
True Boom. Romance. Gone. That was huge, awesome.
True Romance,
yeah.
That's right.
Then just fell off the radar. Where's Bronson today? Let's call him up. Let's find out what's going on with Bronson Pinchot.
Shooting a documentary with Amy Winehouse.
we found David Naughton. Maybe somebody out there knows that's Bronson Pinchot. Maybe we can get him on the phone.
Have Bronson give us a call and tell us what he's up to.
Let's not get crazy.
Cousin Larry, it's crazy how we live.
Remember Kevin, you'd be interested to talk to him for a couple minutes and find out what he's up to.
It's funny
to say.
Let's
check in with Bronson
Pinchot. That's a funny idea until we do it.
It's a great idea.
At which point people are going, what the?
And it just gets better if we get a chance to talk to Bronson Pinchot.
Somebody out there knows Bronson Pinchot, I guarantee it.
Right, I agree too. That's not going
to
help us.
But we need to talk to Bronson Pinchot.
You're not wrong. You just maybe less... Then right.
Lead singer for Haircut 100, Nick Hayward, is 48 years old today.
Oh, I love that. Love him so much.
Can I tell you guys what Alex, our producer, just told me in my headset?
What's that?
Who's Bronson Pinchot?
We were pitched Bronson Pinchot and turned him down.
What?
Recently. Which I believe was the
is fired.
That was the right decision.
She is so fired.
We turned him down, not her.
I would not have turned him down given the opportunity. That's all I'm telling you.
Alex, our producer, God love her, but I suspect sometimes she speaks for the room when those pitches get through to her desk.
No.
I really do. I think she says, well, I'm just going to pass on this without telling the guys.
I could guarantee I voted no.
All right, let's find out what Erica 100's up to then. Let's call them and see what's going on.
That I would be into.
Mindy Cohn from Facts of Life. She played
Biggie.
I don't think there was a Biggie.
What was her character's name? What?
Wendy, wasn't it?
Wendy?
No.
No idea.
Fatty. Fatty. It was Fatty.
Edie.
It has an E at the end of it, you're sure?
Last
Natalie.
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 She was the fat one, but she was the first one to get banged.
That's right. As is the case in so many other situations with girls.
Tell me about it.
She's 43 years old today, and Busta Rhymes. Busta, let's find out what's going on with Busta Rhymes.
All right.
Let's do a show, just Where Are They Now, where we just talk to former celebrities and find out what's going on with them.
Well, unfortunately, Busta had a new album come out yesterday, so we know what he's doing.
I apologize, Busta. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is, I guess, Wednesday morning, and our friend Amy Winehouse is back in the news. Am I right?
Yeah, Ralph just did this story in the showbiz, and that is that Amy Winehouse is going to do a documentary about her own life.
Wow.
We heard yesterday that Ozzy was going to.
Yeah.
But today it's Amy Winehouse. Who would not watch that?
You'd have to.
Yeah.
She's such a train wreck. So our producer, Alex, who has apparently a good phone relationship with Amy, got her on the phone already today.
Oh, wow.
In St. Lucia. So, Amy, hi.
How you doing, Kevin and Bean? How are you?
Good. We're looking for Amy Winehouse, please.
That never gets old.
Because you sound like a dude.
Would you like to take that back?
Yes, I would.
Oh.
Now, Amy, aren't you a little young to be doing a documentary about your life? What are you, like 25 or something?
Yeah, I'm 25. But I've lived a life of a much older person.
Yeah, you're gonna die soon. You might as well get it out of the way while you're still living.
I've seen so much and done so many things that I really have got a lot to teach everyone, I think.
Oh, you're gonna teach us stuff?
I'm also working on my autobiography as well as the documentary.
What was that?
That's me typing it out.
It
was then that I found my first love.
Wow, are you using a manual typewriter?
Well, I'm on St. Lucia. That's all they have here.
No computers.
I guarantee they have electricity and computers, Amy. You should look around the room.
Oh. Hey, look, there's a computer over there.
How about that?
Why didn't I think of that?
That might be good.
Lisa had a good question. What is it you're trying to teach us? What have you learned that you're willing to share with the world at this point?
Well, I've lived through addiction and come out on the other side, and I thought if I could help people learn how to kick drugs and alcohol like I have, then I've been doing the world a great service.
Have you kicked drugs and alcohol?
Yeah, when did that happen?
Amy, what are you doing there?
Oh! I've just quit doing cocaine.
Just a second.
Yes.
Because you did it a second ago.
Because I'm out.
Yeah.
Right, because you just finished the line that was
so
on the table.
That's
right.
That's something that I could teach people in my new documentary.
Maybe it's not. Maybe you're
in
not.
In my book.
Maybe you're not the person to teach.
Maybe you're not the person to teach.
I'm not claiming to be, though.
Oh.
I'm not making a documentary and writing an autobiography.
But if I can help just one person.
Right.
Then it would be. Well, I'm not going to help one person, really, am I? It's not
gonna
happen.
Can't even help yourself.
That's
right. I mean, look, I love the trend of the documentaries. I think they're fascinating, and you've certainly led an interesting life the last few years. But I'm worried that it will not be impartial, that you will gloss it up somehow to be favorable to you rather than to be truthful in the telling of the story.
That is could not be further from the truth.
Really?
I'm taking
a
cold, hard look at myself in my life.
Okay.
I mean, I'm writing the narration now for the documentary.
Okay.
She was the most beautiful
woman
of her generation.
All right, right there. We're gonna
no
have
one
to.
Has ever thought that, Amy.
Amy Winehouse is so gorgeous.
Right, that's...
And has lovely teeth.
Okay.
Wow. Her skin
the worst
was
teeth.
Like whipped cream. Sitting on an angel's food cake.
Wow.
You're with powdered sugar.
No.
Oh, powdered sugar. That makes that reminds me.
Don't.
Hold on a second.
Amy, you just said you...
You
just quit.
You
quit.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Okay. Your skin is more like wet cardboard than it is whatever it is you type, David. You need somebody else's input on the documentary. It can't be all you.
I love cocaine
right.
and heroin.
Now we're getting somewhere.
More than life itself.
Yeah.
The end.
That is true.
It's going to be a short documentary.
Speaking of television,
mm-hmm.
best series on right now is being able to tune in and watch Kobe and Carmelo last night and being able to watch LeBron tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, how awesome is this time of year with the NBA playoffs going on?
It's great. Yeah. Lakers last night beat Denver Nuggets. Mm-hmm. Here's a little bit of the audio from about the last 2.5 minutes of the game. And I don't think the Staples Center, the Lakers fans, have ever been louder in history. And I know that's probably a pretty big claim, but I was watching on TV. Mike, you were there.
Yeah.
You couldn't hear the announcers sometimes
really?
Because they were so... And it's not the kind of arena where people are that loud because it's much more spread out. The arenas where they're super loud, usually the crowd is much closer to the court.
Wow.
But it was just nuts last night.
Clock at 8. Bryant on the drive. Corner, Fisher, three-pointer. It's good! Lakers take the lead. Fisher's hit a couple of big threes. Their first lead of the fourth quarter after trailing by 7. Anthony inside. Tough shot. Offensive foul. Pau Gasol. 2 straight strong defensive plays.
Now, the crowd's going crazy, right?
Yeah.
But over all of that, there was some dude that was yelling, and you could hear him his specific voice, but I can't tell what he was saying. And I was thinking, how loud must that guy be yelling if he's overcoming the sound of the entire crowd? What could he possibly have been saying there?
Either that, or he just happened to be in the right angle for those parabolic microphones. You know, just like the perfect spot. But man,
Bryant on Anthony. They guarded each other much of this fourth quarter. Trevor Ariza went for steal. Ariza tiptoes and will bring it back out, and the Lakers will win Game One.
Didn't have time to play the, was it 9 free throws Kobe hit right down, coming down to the end?
Oh,
unbelievable.
Ice in your veins.
Unbelievable.
By the way, I know I've brought this up before, but especially last night in the game, I'm a little tired of the defense chant, too, because...
What is wrong with you?
I understand that people are excited, but, like, the Lakers don't know that they have to play defense at that point. You know what I mean?
That's what the home court is all about.
But, I mean, do
of
they
course
even...
Of course they know it, but it's not a mental thing. They don't think about it. It's emotion.
Couldn't be more annoying. There must be something better they can chant than defense, which seems pretty superfluous to me.
Not possible.
I'd rather them chant Denver sucks. I mean, at least that has the possibility of making an impact on the game. You know what I mean?
Oh, you've never been more wrong in your entire life.
I'm just saying,
by the way, that's saying something, that Bean's never been more wrong.
I'm just saying the defense chant is more than Finn.
It's support. What are you talking about? Just because you're used to watching baseball where people are doing the wave.
You're not hearing me. You're not hearing me.
Hearing
I'm not
you.
Saying no. You're not, because I'm not saying don't support the team. I'm not saying don't chant. I'm not saying don't make noise. I'm not saying don't try to influence the game. I'm just saying defense is kind of a dumb thing to chant
when
out.
The team
all.
Is playing defense at the end of the game and they have a must stop. That doesn't make sense to you.
No,
I don't think it doesn't.
Because everybody already knows that.
You're dumb.
Right. I don't think in the crowd everybody's going, let's remind them they have to play defense
here. Right, it's excitement.
That they're supporting them for what they're about to do. Just like, I don't think Kobe has forgotten his name. Doesn't mean we shouldn't do the Kobe chant.
So out of all the things in the world that the crowd could chant, you think that's the best? You think defense is the best?
By far.
Okay.
It's the
you couldn't be more wrong then.
Uh-oh. It's the one thing that matters.
We don't
at that
need
point.
Ralph Garman
you
in this.
You do
one.
Need me because you're insane, right? He's just stupid
just
beyond
dumb.
Words.
It's just
it's not dumb.
Well,
it
how
is
about
defense.
When the defense is on the field in a football game and the crowd, the home crowd's cheering defense? Is that wrong too? Because they
yes.
can be reminded they're playing on the defensive end
yes.
of the game.
See, pointless.
This is a guy.
Pointless.
This is a guy who deals with things. With his brain,
this
not
isn't
with
literal.
His heart.
This is not literal. They're not reminding right. them that they're playing defense.
Right. And
bolstering them up. They're putting them on their emotional shoulders, saying, we're behind you,
right.
defense.
And I'm not suggesting that they shouldn't bolster them up or put them on their emotional shoulders. I'm just saying the choice of the chant
okay.
defense is pretty retarded.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
Should they not chant Kobe? Kobe? Because he knows his name is Kobe. Are they reminding him his name is Kobe?
Shouldn't chant MVP, even though he won it last year.
Should they not chant his name because he already knows his name about, and who he is?
How about a couple times last night there was the Let's Go Lakers chant?
No, nope. They know they're the Lakers.
I'm pretty sure
why
they
should they chant Lakers? They know they're the Lakers. It's stupid.
Has B never said anything more dumb?
No.
All right. Can we move on now?
No. This is insane.
That's what I think.
Let's move on to the puppet show, which apparently is the new Nike ad. Can we talk about that?
This was, of course, everybody's looking forward to the the finals, hopefully, which will be Kobe against LeBron. And the announcers mentioned that, of course.
Bryant hearing chance of MVP, which he won last season. LeBron James this season.
So LeBron plays tonight. Cleveland plays tonight, like Bean mentioned. And if they end up meeting in the finals, everybody's hoping for that, including Nike. And
absolutely.
They do this puppet commercial, which is really funny. But there's a puppet that looks like LeBron James and a puppet that's supposed to represent Kobe, but doesn't look. I look more like Kobe than this puppet
really?
Does. It's really
it
weird.
It does look like they went into the closet and said, do we have any black guy puppets at all? If you have it, just bring it out and that'll be Kobe. We'll put him in a sweater, as the kind he's never worn. He looks like he's on the Huxtables or something.
They're Nike. Can't they make it look like, can't they take a picture of Kobe and try to make it just as.
I would think they could.
But at least the voice sounds just like him.
My three championship rings. LeBron, have you seen my three championship rings?
LeBron. Have you seen my... I'm a stereotypical black guy.
Hello there.
I sound nothing like Kobe Bryant.
Because I seem to have misplaced my three championship rings.
Kobe, I'm busy.
And they represent the three championships that I myself have won.
This is my problem?
Now, somewhere in this area, I seem to have misplaced my three championship
rings. Kobe,
try
to play a game.
Okay, so it's funny because he's rubbing it in, blah, blah, blah.
It is funny.
And maybe they're doing it to be a funny voice, but can't it sound or look anything like Kobe?
Because the LeBron puppet does look like LeBron and sort of sounds like LeBron. Why is the Kobe one so different?
I can't answer that. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it is, but every time I see that commercial, I've seen it a lot since I've been watching the NBA playoffs. I'm just dumbfounded. I just go, how can they not have a puppet that looks a little bit like Kobe?
I just can't find my rings.
Have you seen
Kobe?
I did say there were three of them, didn't I?
I don't have time
for
this.
You probably don't even know what they look like. See, for each one of these delicious chocolate chip cookies, there is an equally delicious NBA championship ring that you don't have.
Kobe, I'm trying to...
One for each chocolatey cookie.
Move the cookies
and
off.
You gotta be hungry, LeBron.
I'm talking about... Stomach growling.
Well, maybe you should check your
championship ring display case.
Oh, snap. Will you look at that?
Oh, snap. Will you look at that?
They're my three championship rings.
Hello, gorgeous.
Oh, you got
hey,
names
beautiful.
For them all?
What's up,
you got sexy? Names? That's
y'all
cute.
Playing hide and seek with me.
Why do we live together?
Yeah. So it sounds like sounds
kind
a little
funny though.
It is, but it sounds. Here's the thing: they're not doing a complete parody because it looks and sounds like LeBron. That's the
right.
weird thing.
Right.
There's no
exactly.
chance that Kobe said no. Is there?
Well, I don't think they can use the name and the
But like maybe he said, I don't want you to find a puppet that looks like me. Is there any chance? Because otherwise, it makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
I suspected that because Kobe's always been renowned for being the non-black guy, black athlete.
Right.
That maybe they were poking fun at it by going over the top. But
why would Nike do that?
I don't think Nike would do that. I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, and he looks. It does. Not only does it not sound like him, it looks like Hootie
from Hootie and the Blowfish. That's like... true. It's Hootie. They might as well just call him Hootie. Well, I don't understand
that's
it. But
funny.
That's the matchup that everybody's looking forward to, and Cleveland Orlando. Plays tonight on ESPN.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday morning. By the way, the consensus among the listeners emailing seems to be that David Alan Greer is doing one or both voices in the Nike spot.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Kobe and LeBron. I didn't hear that either.
How
but,
about that?
That's why I think it's not so much he's trying to do an impression of the players. I think he's just...
Kind of a parody
He's doing
of
a sketch. He's just doing a comedy sketch with the two guys in it.
Well, that makes a little sense. I didn't make any sense before. Yeah. If you want to see the commercial, by the way, you can go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com, Kevin and Bean page. It's right on the front page there, and you can watch it. It's a funny commercial, but I just never understood it.
He is one of the stars of Star Trek and appears in this weekend's Terminator Salvation as well. We'll talk to actor Anton Yelchin coming up in just a few minutes. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for A New Day. What's going on?
I think he's the best performance in the movie, by the way.
Is he?
Yeah.
Of Terminator, not
him. I saw Terminator this week, and I think Anton turns in the best performance in the movie.
Good for him.
I think his character is written, has the most depth to it, quite frankly, so he's got that advantage. But I was really impressed by his work.
Does he say Victor Richter 7?
What the f*** is it with you? What don't you f***ing understand?
He does not say Victor 7.
What?
See, he didn't understand him. The computer was a voice activated and needed to hear Victor. He needed the
right.
V, see? And he's got a Russian accent.
Right.
It's funny. To be stuff.
Huh?
Speaking of movies.
What just happened?
I tried to say four things at the same time.
Okay. All right.
Gwyneth Paltrow is making a new movie called Two Lovers. And she was supposed to be nude in the film.
No.
Yeah, that's
this
what
is
I
that one with Joaquin Phoenix, right?
Yeah.
Aww, you guys, come on. All
right, listen.
Nope.
She was hot in Iron Man. Okay.
Yes, and she's that was hot lady. Not very but that
was,
long ago.
That was a lot of CGI, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not for her. They didn't use CGI to her.
Yes, I think they did. Because it wasn't just the armor. I think they had to put some CGI in her, too, because somehow she was hot.
Beautiful girl.
Let's not take off the clothes.
The budget on the computers they used to make her hot was more than making him fly.
It was, yeah. The technology of raising her boobs up in that outfit and showing her with some cleavage had more cantilevers and pulley systems than Tony Stark's entire flight suit. Hey, Chewbacca.
How dare you? What
kind of laugh was that? Anyway,
I love her.
She's doing this movie.
You can love her.
And she's supposed to be naked in it.
Yes.
And
no.
She was concerned about that.
Right.
Not because she's doing nude. She told the director, James Gray, that she has no problem taking her clothes off for a role. But she said, I've had two children, and I don't think my boobs look very good anymore. Will you do me a favor? Come into my trailer, and I'll show them to you. And if you think they look okay, I'll do it.
Wow.
So he went into her trailer and looked at her boobs and said, nope. No nudity for you.
Really?
They're
so she's not naked
double?
In the movie?
No, actually, he said they look okay. So she's naked in the movie.
Oh, so, well, what's he going to say? He can't really say no.
Yeah, that does put you in a... No, that's okay. We'll get a body double.
She's
that would
a movie
be
star.
That would be rough.
I know, but still.
It's going to be rougher for us to watch it.
I think the character would wear a parka, now that I think about it. That's what he should have said. I think the character should wrap herself in animal pelts.
She's the only actress that stands behind a green screen.
Now
that's
that I think about it, this project isn't right for you. I'm going to call Megan Fox.
That's what you should have said.
What is that?
I have no idea. Something's wrong with my machine, but I just figure... That's my new favorite thing ever.
That's strong.
It is strong. It's something that's horribly wrong with it. Don't fix it.
Don't fix it.
I like it.
It was an accident.
Okay. Oh, now I have that sound back.
Something
refreshing about that one.
Oh, you were trying to hit the sound effect?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were hitting something else.
No, I kept trying to hit my sound effect, and the machine going... Oh, this is good. This is juicy. This is showbiz. Greg Garcia, the creator of My Name is Earl, not too pleased that NBC has canceled his TV series unceremoniously.
A bit of a shock.
I can imagine, yeah.
It was a real good show, and it was doing pretty well on that Thursday night comedy lineup, but apparently it was very expensive to make, and so NBC opted to slit its throat without really telling him.
They didn't call him and say,
no.
Really?
He found out the day they announced the schedule. Actually, he said he knew it was coming because when the schedule's due to come out the next day and no one has talked to you about anything,
wow,
you see the writing on the wall pretty much. But he did a very funny article for the LA Times yesterday, and I want to mention a couple things from it. I just think you'll get a kick out of it. He said regarding leaving NBC, it's hard to be too upset about being thrown off the Titanic.
Whoa.
Regards that NBC is in fourth place among networks rating-wise. He also said that during a conference call with reporters, Ben Silverman, co-chairman of NBC, said the network opted to cancel Earl and Medium because neither fans nor advertisers had waged a campaign to save them the way viewers and Subway restaurants did for Chuck.
Really?
Yeah.
He's
if that's how they're running their network, good luck to them, Garcia said.
He's penalizing shows for not having that?
For not having, what, they have to send peanuts and say nuts like Jericho did in order to stay on the air?
And no one knew either
of
those shows were in trouble.
No, of course not.
That's
Chuck
weird.
Had been on the bubble for a while and people were concerned.
Oh, for God's sake.
Wow.
Yeah. Very odd. But I can understand his frustration. I don't know. As much as we bitch and complain without real reason about working here at the station and on this show, I can't imagine what it's like to work in television. Because the insanity and the stuff you hear about the reasons things get made and don't get made and what they do to you when you're trying to be a creative person in television just seems miserable.
That's the thing. You hit it right on the head there, Ralph, because if you're just in it for the money, you can live with it. But if you're in it with any kind of artistic desire, then you just have to put that aside or you'll be crushed.
Yeah. What should they have yelled instead of defense be? I can't get that out of my head. I just can't get past it.
I don't know. It's bugged me for a long time. It just seems like a waste of space. That's all. Seems like there's something better. That's all I'm saying.
Just don't know how to respond to that. keyboard cats playing them
just
off.
Play Bean off. That's all we can do.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is Joe Cocker, 65 years old today. Jane Wilde of the Go-Go's celebrates her 51st birthday. Bronson Pinchot!
Hey, where's Bronson?
Where's
we haven't
Bronson
got them yet.
Pinchot. We're going to get him on the show by the end of the show today. He is 50 years old. Mindy Cohen from Facts of Life is 43. And Busta Rhymes celebrates his 37th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's a big summer movie season, of course. You got the Terminator. You got the Star Trek. As excited as we are about both of those films as moviegoers, what must it be like to be an actor who's in both of them? Pretty crazy, right?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Anton Yelchin joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Good morning, Anton. How are you?
Morning. Sorry, I was already answering your question.
That's all right. We appreciate your eagerness.
So let's hear that answer. What's it like to be in both of those movies that everyone's been looking forward to for years?
It's pretty crazy. It's definitely it's definitely a trip. I mean, I'm very lucky to be part of both of them. And you know, suddenly, it's nuts.
And that all fell into place in your agent or whoever said, yeah, you got both. You must have just been going, what is going on this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're probably pretty excited, pretty happy. And at the same time, they're probably like, what? You know, this guy was like in movies that were that no one saw, you know?
Right. Well, their 10% just got a whole lot bigger. That's what's going on here, I guess.
Yeah,
I mean, all right.
It's pretty insane. I mean, I used to be a huge, I mean, I still am. It's not like it stopped. I was always a huge fan of Terminator. So to find myself kind of on set with these 7-foot tall puppets, I guess, I'm not really sure what the politically correct term for it.
I don't think it's puppet.
I'm not puppets. I used to have these action figures, and I'd look up, and now they're 7 feet tall. It just kind of blew my mind.
Wow.
Anton, it's also got to be odd to take on another iconic role because you've got Chekhov, of course, in Star Trek, and now you're playing Kyle Reese, the dad of John Connor in the Terminator series.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. It's interesting, though, because it's similar work, you know, just watching a lot of the original and building a character from that. And it's also similar kind of the process of saying, all right, you know, trust that you did your work and now kind of ignore that everyone keeps saying how iconic it is and just try
not to let that bug you. Do you have friends or family who you go, wow, I got a long day today. I really got to work. I got to watch a Terminator movie and I got to watch a Star Trek movie. This is going to be rough.
Yeah, I mean, that's never, that's always like, you know, everyone, I mean, my family loves Terminator. Like, I saw Terminator when I was 4, I think.
Wow.
How about that? Hey, I have to ask you about a couple things that famously came out of the Terminator set and find out if you were there for any of them. Arnold Schwarzenegger's brief appearance in the movie, were you involved at all in that scene?
Yeah, I was.
And what was that like?
That was it was interesting because we had a guy named Roland Kickinger who is massive. Let me just tell you, this guy was enormous.
Right.
It's insane. His peck, I think, is the size of my chest. His one peck.
Wow.
And then his one lat maybe together are the size of my upper like my torso. It's insane. So that was it was fun to shoot. You know, it was fun to be around this guy who he leg presses like I think he told me 720 pounds.
Jeez.
Dude,
that's
wow.
It? Only 720? Okay.
I got to tell you something. That moment in the film when we do see the T-1000 and see Arnold come out again, it's just it's one of those moments in movies where you get a chill because it brings everything back full circle, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, that's how it felt shooting it, you know, because I was such a huge fan. Suddenly I was part of this whole thing, and that, you know, the original machine was there. It was it was pretty incredible.
Did he try and balance the budget for Terminator Salvation while he was there?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Thing two, the most famous thing before the movie came out was the day that Christian Bale got all mad. Were you there on set for that?
I wasn't on set for that, actually. That was during a really private scene between him and Bryce. So I was somewhere in Albuquerque that day.
Oh, that's gotcha. Just so you know, we felt that he took a real bad rap on that. I mean, I agree with what he says that you shouldn't let a few minutes of frustration
cast a pall on what is otherwise a great project that involves hundreds of people and millions of dollars that people are going to love, you know? So I just wondered if you were there. And the last thing, and this is the really the most disturbing of all of them, is apparently there was a Moon Bloodgood topless scene that's not going to be in the movie. God damn you.
I believe what the disturbing part was that I wasn't there for there.
Oh. You weren't there for that either.
And I kind of, you know, I missed out on the thrill ride, I suppose it was.
What's happening? They kept you home during the good stuff.
Yeah, they were just like, I'm sorry, Anton. Ahead of time, let me just tell you.
Today is going to be a great scene, yeah, and we don't want you anywhere around.
Well, at least you have the ability that we don't, which is to hit McGee in his face for making that decision to cut that out of the movie. When you see him, just break his nose or something. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, that was just, I don't know who, what executive decision or whatever that was, you know, but it was a really, you know, to Moon's credit and to everyone's credit, it was a really tasteful scene, too.
Right, know, which is why we need to see it.
It was a nice scene.
We wouldn't want to see it if it wasn't tasteful.
Right, no, I'm sure everyone listening right now.
Right,
yeah, sure. Yeah, if it's just dirty and sexual, we're not interested in something like that with Moon and Bloodgood, that dog. Come on.
That would have been horrible.
Yeah. So, Ralph, what else should we know about Anton in the movie, or what else did you want to ask him? Because you're the only one of us who's been lucky enough to see it.
Yeah, I got to think, while you were making it, it must have felt like you were making a completely different film than Christian and the rest of the cast, Anton, because you're pretty much off on your own as one of the members of the Resistance for most of the film.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely one of the, lonelier characters in the film because he's kind of grown up, well, you know, he's only got this little, this mute girl to basically talk to or communicate with, which is, you know.
The best kind?
Much fun as hanging out with a mute girl can be, I guess. he's by himself a lot of the time, and then he meets this character, Sam Worthington's character of Marcus Wright, and I think, you know, Sam and I worked really hard because in the initial script they got together, and then a scene in, they were just the best of friends. You know, and Sam and I, who we didn't even get along for like a week. You know?
Wow.
We met each other, and just because we're both pretty, you know, Sam's really reserved, and I kind of, you know, I just try to feel out what's up with the other person that I'm working with, you know, and now we're good friends, but we both like, this is not happening. You know, they're not going to be like, you know, buddy, 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 you know, in the scene telling each other they love each other, like, in
right.
You know? So we kind of work this progression of where each identifies something within the other that they kind of respect, and, you know, for whatever reason, well, actually, for the reason that they almost die together, they end up, you know, working together and becoming friends. But, there's a definite kind of loneliness that they both identify within each other, and a closeness with death that they see in each other's lives, and that sort of starts this friendship. But there's definitely, you know, all those elements for fans from Terminator 1 of Kyle Reese and of that anger and paranoia and sort of that intensity is all definitely in this movie because it's the same environment.
Fantastic. Well, I know you got to go. We couldn't be more excited. Now, the movie opens, is it tomorrow night at midnight? Is that when they're going to start showing it?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it's okay. Right. It opens Thursday, so I guess, tomorrow night at midnight. Yeah.
All right. Terminator Salvation, of course, is the name of the film, and Star Trek still in theaters right now. You ought to check them both out. Anton Yelchin, thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks a lot. You guys have a good morning.
Thank you. Bye.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Coming up after 8, we'll tell you about Jesus in a Cheeto. They gotta put a stop to this,
they're,
right?
They're calling it Jesus.
Jesus, sorry.
Yeah.
We got a Kevin Abedi instant request, and Ralph has a new rant. Apparently, I know this is shocking. It's hard to believe that something has upset Ralph Garman. I can't imagine. First, though, we have to talk about something we've been dying to get to ever since the Weenie Roast this past Saturday. Alex, our producer, super horror, she's here. I guess you were closest to the action. Were you close enough to smell it or just to see it or just to hear about it or what?
A warning, some of what you're about to see and hear is explicit.
All right, back to you.
I was way too close because I saw way too much.
Parental discretion is advised.
Go ahead.
So, are you sure? Really? Just play another one.
Due
you know
to some
you
graphic
to.
And mature mm-hmm. content, parental discretion is advised.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Kevin, really?
Go ahead.
All right, okay. So we're backstage at Weenie Roast and just trying to do a potty break before I go check out a band. And this was like at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
So the main stage was just getting going and it was still sunny and hot outside. And K-Rock is awesome, and there's a bunch of nice porta-potties out there. Everybody's waiting in line, doing their thing, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And this guy pops out of the last porta-potty, furious. I mean, like, furious. Gets out, turns around, and knocks, like, starts banging on the porta-potty door next to him. Just boom, 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 boom.
What could possibly have been happening in there?
Totally scared. And he goes, listen, if you're going to have the decency to F in the porta-potty, can you keep it down? Some of us are trying to pee. And I look around, and I'm like the only person seeing this. And I'm thinking, is Ashton Kutcher here? Are we being punked? Like, what's going on? And then he storms off because he apparently couldn't take
a
leak.
Do that, which while that I don't was get. Going on.
And, but you did the right thing and wait for the couple to come out, right? And take a picture
of
them.
Yeah. No, I actually ran to go watch a band, and then I found you. What? And I told you about it.
So you never saw who came out?
I didn't because they weren't coming out for a while.
Right. Who cares? Stay there for an hour if it takes.
Dude, I had Caleb, you know, from Kings and Leon to watch. I wasn't going to stand at a porta potty door all afternoon.
Alex, you have to see that couple. You have to see the people who are making that choice.
Waiting and waiting and then sitting. I was like, I can't do this. So I just ran. So the first person, of course, I go, I have to tell Kevin.
Yeah, of course.
The first person. But I'm thinking, how horny are you?
Nope.
That's the number one place you find.
See, that
it's drunk. It's not horny.
That doesn't even describe it because why wouldn't you go behind in a corner? There's buildings. There's.
I mean, Irvine has a lot of bushes, and if you were in the backstage area where where K-Rock is, there's like couches. You can steal like a blanket. You can. There just seems like a lot of other options before the porta potty with two people at 5 o'clock when it's hot and smelly in there.
The porta potty to me is a place that if it's not an emergency to go to the bathroom, I don't even like to go in there.
No. Yeah.
How do you make that choice?
I don't know. But then how does someone having sex in there distribute to the point where you can't
I don't know
take
that
a leak?
Either.
I don't
well, that
back
guy
either.
Had his own problems. That guy definitely had his own problems. But I just, I don't know how you can become, how do I even say this?
How do you stay interested in the idea once you enter that atmosphere?
Here's all we
have to hold your breath.
We've talked a lot about this, and here's all we can figure out. There must have been a girl who was in there and said, you know, hey, anyone, right? And then the guy, this is my only option. It's either yes or no. And he chose yes, which is the wrong answer.
Yeah.
I think.
Look, I mean, I understand. I mean, you hear about it happens all the time. The Mile High Club. You hear about it happening in a bathroom of an airplane, which is a way smaller, more confined space, but it's not filthy. That's
no,
the thing about.
Right.
I mean, at least you've got that, and it is private, and there are really no other options unless you get under a blanket or something like that on an overnight flight. But I mean, the porta potty. I agree. That has to be a millionth on the list of places that you go.
And what are the chances that she wasn't a bush pig? I mean, what are the chances that she was? Even like a 2 on a scale of 1 to 10.
We'll never know because Alex
Alex.
Is a quitter.
Alex fails.
I fail, apparently.
She loves Kings of Leon so much, I went up to her and I was like, are you okay? And she said, why are you talking to me? So we need to take some calls. The worst place, the worst decision you ever made for a place to have sex.
Okay, I know we're taking calls 1-800-520-1067, but let's take Tom now because apparently he has had sex in a porta potty.
What?
Tom?
Yeah. I was a teenager and you couldn't go home.
Right.
Parents wouldn't let you do it.
Okay.
So,
but there are 1 billion other choices besides going home that would be on the list before a porta potty.
There
no?
wasn't the backseat of your car? Or her
no,
car?
It was a pretty ritzy neighborhood and condos, and there really isn't any other place, so...
So was there construction going on, and there was just some porta potty out there?
No, it was a construction site.
Yes,
okay.
Those porta potties are spotless, by the way.
Then go around behind the construction site. Find a place on the grass.
Oh, we went there, too.
Okay.
Oh. He was a teenager.
All right.
They went through a lot of
so
places.
It was just one of your stops on the tour.
Did you have to talk her into the porta potty, or did she have to talk you into it?
It took a little bit of talking, yeah.
Wow.
And was there anything about it that was sexy, or was it just a gross experience that you still wish you could get out of your mind?
No, it was a disgusting experience. All the clothes I was wearing got left behind.
Yeah, there you go. That's what we're saying.
Wow.
All right. Well, that's a bad choice, but thank you for calling. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take a quick break and come right back.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Still have the bat signal in the sky for actor Bronson Pinchot, who we've not been able to find yet this morning.
That's all right.
Kevin, I know you say you're not excited, but when we get him on the phone, man, when Balky joins us on the phone, you're going to love it.
I'm just saying.
This program contains adult content and is not meant for children.
Right. There was a couple having sex in a porta potty at an event we were at over the weekend.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
Sorry, back to you. Got us talking about other foul places that people insist on making even fouler by
doing the reenactments and commentary in this program may contain frank talk of a sexual nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Sorry, go ahead. We know a guy who knows a guy who did it at a Greyhound bus station. Now, again, not high on the list of the most sanitary places you can have sex, right? A Greyhound bus station?
Correct, but sunny afternoon at 5 porta potty, to me, is the winner.
Yeah, so far.
There's no way to find a worse place, I don't think.
Well, I don't know. Why don't we talk to Matt on line 5, who can tell us about having sex in a dumpster, Kevin? Why don't we start there? All right?
Shut up.
Matt, just so you know the background of this, we were talking about this off the air, and Bean said, oh, I'm sure people will call in that did it in a dumpster, and we all mocked him. We were like, no way would anyone do that. Dumpster.
Yeah, what happens in Vegas doesn't always stay in Vegas.
So tell us, I mean, obviously, bearing in mind we're on the radio, how did the urge hit you to the point where a dumpster seemed like a good place?
Well, we were just walking, I don't know, the mood just struck us for some reason.
Right.
Quite a bit. And so I'm looking around, and, I see this big, giant dumpster. I'm like, no way. I wonder if there's anything in that. So climb up it, look at it.
See, that's the difference between you and I, is that I would have gone dumpster. Nope.
No.
Especially in Vegas.
And the thing about a dumpster is even if there's nothing in it, you know that it has been used to cart trash around forever.
Yeah.
I lost my keys in a dumpster a couple of weeks ago, and I seriously thought about just leaving them there.
Sorry, they're gone.
Yeah.
So, in retrospect, Matt, good choice?
No, very bad choice.
What was in the dumpster that you guys laid down on?
There's some carpet, and the worst part about it was the fiberglass that I really didn't feel till the next morning.
So. Oh, great.
Wow.
Itchy.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, you are a prize, and you know how to show a woman a good time.
Yeah, you're quite the date.
And thank you for the call.
Let's go to John on line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about just poor choices in locations to have sex. Hey, John, you're on. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning, Kevin, Bean, and Lisa. How you doing?
Good, John.
What choice did you make that was shaky at best?
Laundry room, bathroom, laundromat.
Laundromat, bathroom.
A public laundromat. The bathroom?
Yes, ma'am.
Was it one? Not be clean.
But was it one of those that you could lock behind you? Is only like room for one person, so you could lock and have privacy?
Yeah, exactly. We were in high school, so.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it might have been doable. Obviously, it was doable because you did it. But the laundromat, the people who are using the
I'm not sure.
I didn't understand what you said anyway, so I'm going to say okay. All right, bathroom and the laundromat. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Rachel. Let's get the girl perspective on line 4. Hey, Rachel, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Hi,
how about
Rachel.
You?
My boyfriend and I did it at one of those like model outhouses at one of those like mission landmark type places.
Oh, it was like one of those tourist spot kind of things.
Like the historical sites where it's like, oh, this was one of the first missions or like ranches of California, so it's a landmark now, and you can go like walk around.
And they had an outhouse.
Yeah, it wasn't like a real outhouse. Like people were still using it. That would have been too much, but
yeah, that would have been too much. So you're saying it wasn't still a useful outhouse?
No, it was just like modeled to be one. I mean, it was like dirt on the floor and like flimsy boards, but they're like. Chicken and ducks, like walking around outside, kind of like what's going on in there.
All right, I got you.
This may be a separate topic, but were there other people kind of walking around pretty close to the outhouse while you guys were in there?
Not that close, but like we could see them, like through the slats in the board that made the outhouse. We could see people walking around.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hmm.
Who knew that missions got you so excited?
I know, really. I'm going to go take a tour of El Camino Real.
All right. Thanks for the call. Hey, let's talk to Joe. He's on line 6. He's got a gross story that involves his own virginity. How about that? Mm. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. Good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Morning.
What bad choice did you make?
I lost my virginity behind Castle Park in Riverside.
Castle Park is one of those miniature golf places?
It's like a small amusement park with a miniature golf. And
right.
It was behind some alley, like, with some random bushes, and it smelled like...
oh, no.
A bum had just peed
yeah.
there. So.
Oh,
Joe. Oh, man. That
That's
must
your
have...
first time?
Yeah. Oh.
You are such a romantic.
So, how much did you have to pay this woman?
I just bought her some popcorn and a miniature golf game.
Wow.
Was it her first time, too?
No, actually, it wasn't.
Mm. Was it her?
No, that...
It was her last. I'll tell you that.
She's never had sex since. All right. Good choice. Thanks for the call. Good time.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday morning. Hey, by the way, looking ahead toward tomorrow, what about Ask a Mob Boss in our latest continuing series of Kevin and Bean's Ask a Series? How about that?
Ask a Mob Boss.
The guy put out a whack on someone, or what's the deal with this dude?
Don't know. He's written a book, though. The guy's written a book.
And Ralph Garman, you're going to be very excited to know that your favorite expression is making its way into a tattoo. We'll be talking to a listener who is getting a tattoo that says, I know, right?
Here's what I like. Just hit this murder button, see if anything happens.
Here's what I like. Permanent decision just to bug Ralph.
Exactly. You gotta love that that commitment to annoy, I tell you. All right, time for the Showbiz Beat now for a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
I think they're all out to get me. Jennifer Love Hewitt has announced she's set to become a country singer.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Murder button, murder button, murder button.
You don't have a murder button.
I do now.
Oh. We have to build a murder button. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, apparently her new boyfriend, Jamie Kennedy, told People magazine that Jennifer's written enough material for an album, and she's preparing to make her country singing debut. Oh, Jamie Kennedy, country music. What the hell's happened?
No.
Country music sucks.
She has made several pop albums that have sucked, so now maybe she wants to suck in another musical genre.
I'll tell you, if there's a way that you can suck in any other musical genre but still be a success, it's by moving to country music. I'm telling you, that's how it works. Happens all the time.
Doesn't have
they
to be good.
Will listen to almost anything, those people, and I'm not kidding you. It's ridiculous. Simon Cowell's ex-girlfriend was attacked last night. Terry Seymour is her name. You've probably seen her as a correspondent on Access Hollywood, I believe she works on. She was at the Nokia Theater where they were performing the American Idol finale performances last night when a woman walked up to Terry, asked if she was Simon's girlfriend. Terry said that she had dated Simon. The woman then jumped on her, attacked her, and attempted to choke her.
What?
What is this, a jealousy rage?
They don't know. The woman was booked on felony battery. No word yet exactly on what's going on with this broad, but they think she may be some sort of crazed Simon fan or stalker or something. So, yeah. It's bad enough you had to sleep with Simon Cowell.
Right.
But then you're going to get choked out over it.
Yeah.
You should be punished twice.
That's unfair. Mm.
Double jeopardy, in my opinion.
Exactly. Did you watch last night, Ralph?
No!
Why would you ask that?
How many times do I have to tell you I'm not watching anymore?
I just thought there might be a little bit of interest, you know, being the
You
the
say
finale.
This every day after American Idol.
Simon wears T-shirts on every show all season long until it gets to the finals. Last night, and I assume tonight, where he wears a coat jacket and a regular shirt. Open to his navel, practically, last night. Yeah. What is the deal with this guy?
He loves him, some him.
I mean, he looks like he's right out of the 1970s disco craze.
No, you know, plunging V-necks are now in for men. That's the new fashion thing.
Is that
are
right?
They?
Yeah. There's a photo of Ed Westwick up on from Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
Up on some website. And it's him wearing a shirt that has the V-neck, I'm not kidding you, down to about mid-stomach.
Oh, wow.
Just to show off the chest? Is
I
that
have no idea what the choice is here. I'm not sure exactly why this is happening.
Wow.
But apparently the plunging V-neck for men now is all the rage.
Okay.
Just another reason why fashion blows.
More on that next hour.
More on that next hour. The plunging V-neck for men.
Yeah.
So Simon actually is in step with fashion, although horribly, horribly wrong.
Right.
Yes. Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Nobel.
No.
No bell.
Speaking of fashion felonies, she was recently had some problems when she was visiting historic Red Square in Moscow. She was out taking some photos when the Moscow police stopped her and questioned her. Apparently, she was in a leather leotard.
Whoa.
And they assumed she was a whore. They stopped her and investigated her for charges of prostitution. But in reality, she was just a tourist taking photographs, but she's Lady Gaga, so she looks like a whore.
She ugly. Right. She ugly. U-G-L-Y. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly.
She's Gaga.
She is.
Different. Katy Perry is just having the time of her life. And can you blame her? Look at her. She's Katy Perry. She was flying, apparently, on Austrian Airlines last weekend, and there were some problems up in first class. People were complaining that she kept everyone awake all night because she was drunk and getting rowdy with several boys in the front section there.
Yeah.
Of the
plane.
Several boys?
Well, she was flirting and kissing and bending about and just having a good time.
Gotcha.
How great is she?
She's the best.
Why can't I hang out with her?
Yeah.
Why can't that happen?
She seems like fun.
Everybody on that plane must have been going, is that Katy Perry? This is
bouncing
so weird.
Around. She looks like a good time. She looks like she just likes fun. You know, minister's daughters. You know what they say about minister's daughters.
That's right.
Isn't her dad a minister? Katy Perry?
Yes, yeah. So is. That's right.
This should not happen in America.
It should happen in America. Today's celebrity birthday, singer Joe Cocker celebrates his 65th birthday today. Oh, come, would you please? For God's sake, let's show some decorum.
Oh, my God.
Singer actress Cher is 63 years old today. Actress Jane Wilden of the Go-Go's celebrates her 50th.
That's a very different birthday.
That is a very different birthday.
Her 51st birthday.
Wow.
Yeah. Bronson Pinchot is also 50 years old.
Where the hell is he? Why is he not on the phone yet?
Because we don't want him.
Mindy Cohn, Natalie from Facts of Life, is 43 years old today. Actor, rapper Busta Rhymes celebrates his 34th birthday. And I have been neglecting one of our favorites around here in the morning. I keep forgetting to mention, while I do celebrity birthdays, that our very own Miss Cleo is celebrating her birthday. Yes. She's a lovely girl.
I hear you gave her a gift already.
We love her, and we wish her the happiest of birthdays. Never you mind, Bean, what's going on
here.
Do
not worry about it.
Stay on your island.
Oh, keyboard cat.
Walk the showbiz beat.
We have something called the Internet Roundup on our website, which is a great way, I think, to save you the time of having to look for all the cool stuff that's all over the Internet. Am I right?
That's correct.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
There's any number of beatboxers. That has not gone away, and I'm glad to see that. Because
well, you especially are glad to see it because you were, of course, the world champion in 91-92 before
correct.
You retired. And do you ever get the urge to get back into beatboxing, or do you just fear the young punks today, they got nothing to offer?
No, I mainly just coach now. I coach the beatboxing Olympic team.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
A lot of people don't know that. Here's Julia Dales doing it, and this is on the Internet round.
Bird of Bay. Would you play these shackles, baby? Up, yeah, up, yeah, up.
Now she changes songs.
Is she the one in the back seat of the car?
What you gonna do with all that junk? All that junk.
She's the cute girl sitting in the backseat of the car, right?
I believe that's her.
That's that's unbelievable. You would look at her and would never for a million years imagine that she could beatbox like that. And she's really good.
Yeah, that's her. The next one we have is the Auto-Tune News. And for those of you that don't recognize the Auto-Tune, that's what it seems like a lot of artists are using these days. Here's a clip from, I believe, Kanye using the Auto-Tune.
In the night, I hear him talk the cold story. Somewhere far along this road, he lost his soul.
It's kind of that computer sound, and they can do it live now, where they put they put the effect on a microphone, and the performers can sing live, and it comes out like that.
Oh, wow.
And you know the people who don't use the auto-tune?
The people who can sing.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yes,
there are those people.
That's why there's so much auto-tune on the radio right now, is because there are all these people making records who cannot carry a tune, run it through the auto-tune, everything sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it comes out perfectly in key. But people are using the auto-tune now for other things, including newscasts. And there are a bunch of these online, the auto-tune news.
At the North Pole, new satellite photos show Arctic ice is melting so fast.
Oh, snap, so fast.
Many scientists now predict it will be gone within
than 30 years.
Surely you just, I'm on the cardiac arrest.
Some researchers think it could disappear in just 6.
So this is actual news audio.
That's awesome. That's Katie Couric. The news.
Right, right.
It's Katie Couric from CBS that they ran through the autotune. Yeah.
Wow.
Doubt it, there could be a snowball effect. Oh. With temperatures rising even faster. If we all don't take bold action and take it soon,
yeah, we will find ourselves on very thin ice. Very thin ice.
Very thin ice.
Very thin ice.
How
seriously,
awesome is that?
If you want people to watch the news.
Yeah, no kidding. That's how you do
news.
It.
Yeah,
do it that
kids
way.
Don't listen to the news. I would totally listen to that. That's yep. So cool.
So that's Auto-Tune News. And the last one is Cheezus. And there seems to be a never-ending list of people around the world, most of them in the United States, it seems.
Most
like.
Of them in the southern United States.
Most of them in Florida. Who see
wasn't
Jesus.
It just, wasn't it just last week that we had a woman with God and her sausage or something,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Spelled G-O-D. It's in bark of trees. It's in shadows.
Yes.
It's, remember the one that was in a toilet?
Yes.
But
yes.
They said when you flush it, it goes away. And we were thinking, well... Listen, as much as you want to see a physical representation of God, chances are he's not going to show up in a Cheeto. I don't know. It just seems like
think.
Maybe that's not the case. But here's the curious case of Cheezus.
Inside a 99-cent bag of Cheetos, Sarah and Dan Bell found something unique.
I was putting them in my hand and eating them out of my hand, and I had eaten most of the ones out of my hand, and this one was still left. Laying there, and I said, oh my gosh, look at this. It really looks like a person in a robe praying.
Yeah, I just looked over.
Now the husband tells his account of how riveting this was.
And I went, wow, it does look like, it looks like a praying Jesus.
Our nickname is Jesus.
Okay, so they've got a sense of humor at least.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They
and
named
they
it.
They called like a news crew?
Yeah, it's...
The Cheezus is about 2 inches tall. Despite missing a right arm, the Bells see a body, hair, robe, even a tiny face.
Now, again, not to doubt their story, but if Jesus were to show up in a Cheeto, probably have both arms.
I would think so. I would think there's no real logical reason why he would appear as the one-armed Messiah.
I mean, it is a reminder of our blessings from God.
Okay, now, so she clearly believes in God.
Yeah.
But at least she's not, like most of these people, they put it in a glass container and they have,
yes.
You know,
and
tourists.
And people line up to see it.
Yeah, at least they have a little bit of a sense of humor about the fact that it's probably not actually Jesus.
Yeah, and I think a lot of these people, like God's face on a piece of toast, a lot of people, they only do it, you know, they only publicize it so they can put it on eBay and sell it because someone will buy it. If I were the Bells, though, I would see that and I would go, hey, that does kind of look like Jesus. And that would be the last thought I had before I ate it.
Right.
And then it would be, God. Is that something you save and worship?
Well, yes. This is because, but by the way, and this looks very little like Jesus. It's one of those that just you go, wow, that's an imagination right there. If you can see
it's
Jesus.
It's kind of like looking up in clouds.
Right.
You know, you look up in a cloud, you go, oh, I see an airplane. Well, I mean, I guess you see something that's sort of in the shape of kind of an airplane, but it's not an airplane.
So they talk about what to do now with Jesus.
But primarily, I think it's a funny Cheeto.
Jesus has shown up before in Houston, Missouri, and on YouTube.
The Bell's Cheeto ended up front page on the Preston Hollow People newspaper. The big question, what to do with it now?
My first reaction was, let's put this on eBay. And then we said, how much do you think we should ask for it?
Okay, now, this I like because they actually have a little common sense. The first thing they think is eBay, really just to make a little cash.
Okay.
They're not trying to get people to worship it. You know, they don't really believe it's Jesus. They just want to get some cash for it.
You know, it could be 25 cents. It could be... $25. Thing is, if it's only 25 cents, we're probably just going to eat it.
So there you go. So if it doesn't command a higher price, then Jesus is going down their mouths.
Well, you need to see this incredible video for yourself, and it's all part of the Internet Roundup at KROQ.com.
Lettuce just heard that song and won tickets to see Green Day at the Fonda June 4th. It's the KROQ at 8:23.
What the hell? It's Kevin and Bean show right now. Ask a Mob Boss this time tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean show. Right now, though, you know, don't say we're not sensitive to our listeners and their wishes because we've got an instant request that we need to take care of.
Yes, this came in. We talked to a guy named Rudy, and he gave us the idea.
Hey, I heard that Spencer Pratt say he's better than Jay-Z, and he's going to change the rap game.
Yeah, he says he's the white Jay-Z.
No. We need to have a wrap-off between him and K-Fed.
A wrap-off between Spencer Pratt and K-Fed?
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
That's a good instant request. Bank that so we can...
I need to make that happen.
All right. Okay. I don't know how we can make that happen, but we'll try.
Listen up, everyone!
You instant...
Make a request.
Request!
Instant request.
All right. Let's thank you, Rudy, for that suggestion. Let's welcome to the studio, first of all, K-Fed, Kevin Federline, the ex-Mr. Britney Spears. Hey, K-Fed, how are you, man?
Yeah. What's up, dog? Yeah.
And in this quarter from the hills, you love him, you hate him, you mostly hate him, Spencer Pratt. Hey, Spence, dog.
Zach, what's up, kid?
So you guys were listening. You heard what the caller said. He thinks there needs to be a wrap-off so we can decide who really is the great white hope right now in the rap world.
Look, you know, they need to decide who's the best in the world playing basketball. They got Kobe. They got LeBron.
Right.
Rap game's got us, kid. And I'm ready to do that.
Do you think that you and K-Fed are the two best? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think.
Okay.
I mean, I know, kid. You know what I'm saying?
But K-Fed, what about guys like Eminem? I mean, shouldn't they at least be part of the discussion if you're talking about the best white rapper? Oh.
Listen, K-Fed has everything on Eminem. Right?
First off, dog, when we talk about the rap game, the hip-hop game, don't be mentioning no white rappers like that. It's insulting to me and my people in our culture. So let's do this.
You're white, K-Fed, if you don't mind my saying.
Whatever. It's all the color of my soul that matters. That's dark as midnight, like Wesley Snipes. You know what I'm saying? Like Gene Simmons' hair. I'm blacker than black deep down where it counts. My blood runs black, dog.
Okay. All right. Back off, K-Fed. All right. Who wants to go first in the wrap-off then?
let's say beauty before age. I'll take this one.
All right.
Sick.
All right. I'm going to lay down a beat, and you bring it. And then we'll go to K-Fed.
That's how it goes.
Have a battle.
That's how it goes.
All right, here we go.
Beverly Hills, here we go. Your pants are sagging like Britney's fat ass. While you're out making ringtones, I'm out making cash. You drink malt liquor, I drink champagne. K-Fed makes it drizzle, Spence Dog makes it rain. Oh,
come on.
Oh, snap.
What do you think of that? What do you think of that, K-Fed?
That's weak, dog. You know what I'm saying? You think that's rhyming? Hit it, Steve. You're an oppressive white honky. Don't play me like a slave. Blaze me to Africa, the home of the brave. You're a white devil. I'm a soldier for Barack with a Nubian snake dangling down by my sock. Power to the beat. The revolution will not be televised, Spence Dog.
Stop it.
I gotta give that round to K-Fed. I thought he brought a lot more energy, Spencer.
Wow.
I don't know, man. You seem kind of alike compared to K-Fed.
Yeah, like, keep saying my name. I know you're jealous.
Yeah.
Look,
whatever.
I'm going to go back
to my utopia of Hollywood Hills later today where everybody's got money and white skin. You just keep saying my name. Keep me in the news, player.
All right.
Here's the thing, though. How bad do you have to be when K-Fed makes you sound bad? I mean, think about it.
Yo, I'm at the top of my game right now, dog. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, this guy, he coming over here with his whack-ass goatee thinking he could play me out? You know what I'm saying? I was born on the streets. You know, I started dealing crack when I was young,
right.
And I got the streets in my blood. You know what I'm saying? It's like
right.
It's impossible all for right. me to lose to somebody who doesn't understand thug life like I do, dog. You know what I'm saying?
You know you're a white guy from Fresno, right?
Word? Right. You don't understand what it's like being on the streets of all Fresno. Right. You know what I'm saying? With bullets whizzing by my dome like I'm in Fallujah. You know
I don't
what I'm
think
saying?
It was like
what?
That at all. I
you
understand
know what I'm
you had
saying?
A very comfortable middle-class upbringing is
Israel
what I understand.
Israel and Palestine, you know, they got their deal. It's like that's the way the streets all was right, up K-Fed. In Fresno, dog.
All right, I forget who's next. Is it you, Spence?
It's my turn.
All right, here we go.
Heidi's got a six-pack. Britney's got a keg. You could fit 11 Heidi's into one of Britney's legs. You're eating tater tots. I'm grubbing caviar. You're a washed-up wigger. I'm an A-list star.
Whoa. Nice.
Yes, all speak right. of that cheese. Yeah. I'm throwing $100 bills, kid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm a dispenser because they call me Spencer when it comes to the diamonds.
Right.
Look at my wrist.
Got it.
Okay, thank you, Spencer. He directed that one right at you, K-Fed. Are you going to take that or you got something to come back with?
K-Fed, 09. Your flesh-colored beard is looking hella whack. I got better-looking hair on the bottom of my sack. Dark chocolate. Your white weenie makes me laugh because my Afro anaconda would tear Heidi right in half.
Oh, wow.
Dog? Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
I'm the $5 foot long, kid.
Okay.
Tell somebody to go home with that.
I think what we can all agree on is you both suck and should stay as far away from a rap microphone as possible, please. That's the answer.
Yep.
I'll see you at later tonight, everybody.
Yeah, all right.
Ralph, there seems to be a lot of anger in you these days. Are you seeing somebody? Do you have a therapist?
I don't need to see anybody. I can just come on the radio and just get it all out.
Should you be boxing more? I mean, it just seems like there's a lot of aggression.
Yeah,
do
you want to get in the ring with me? you really want to help? You really want to help?
I would drop you, but other than that, that would solve a whole host of problems.
This may be a whole new break. We might not even talk about what we're going to talk about here.
What is it you're so upset about, like, every single day? Why do you always have veins popping out of your forehead when you come in here now?
Because you know what the problem is? Not enough people are angry. Yeah. That's why we have so many problems in the world, because not enough people get incensed at the craziness that surrounds us on an everyday basis.
Too much complacency.
That's right. Everyone's they just walk through life and let this bad stuff happen, and no one takes a stand. All that for evil to succeed, all that needs to be done is men for good nothing.
That's right.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
Or a lot more people are starting to adopt it's not for me, but, you know, more power to you, live and let live attitude.
Nope. Wrong, sir.
Not Ralph. And that's why he's here for Ralph's rant.
One man, one quest. He doesn't sleep until corruption and deceit is brought to the forefront. His crusade is to make right on all that is wrong in the world. A fighter for injustice, he will avenge us all. His name, Ralph Garman, and this is Ralph's Rants.
I've decided this week that fashion must be brought to its knees.
Well, you're the man to do it.
Fashion.
You got a head start.
Fashion must be destroyed.
Okay.
These arbitrary rules that get handed down from no one in particular, that everyone seems that they have to start following because why? Oh, because it's fashion. Because someone told you had to do it. This all happened the other day. I was in the other room with my two good friends, Kevin Ryder and Dave, the King of Mexico Sanchez.
Yeah.
And they were both wearing shorts. And I looked down and I said, why are you wearing chick socks? And they're like, these are guys' athletic socks. These aren't girls' socks. They're men's socks. And I said, well, then why do they only come up to just the top of your foot?
Just above your ankle.
They're not above your ankle. They're below your ankle. They're way below your ankle. They're like just on the top of your foot.
Well, they're just right at that bone.
They're the socks that girls wear when they play tennis. That's what they are. They're girls' athletic socks. And I was told, no, this is now the fashion. This is what guys wear when they wear shorts. They can't wear regular socks that go on your ankle. It has to be below the ankle because that's the fashion.
Plus, you get that stupid tan line above the ankle, right?
That's Kevin's problem. That's my problem. All those tan lines he's got all the time. You're right.
But I can't be pulling the socks up above my knee. That also looks dumb.
Yeah, that does look dumb.
Also is not a good option.
All right. So they should
but
just
for
be
hundreds of years,
up at
there
his
were
ankle?
Just socks that would just go on your ankle. Just guys would just put on socks and shoes and just go out of the house. Every
right.
day.
But that's
their
what lives. I do.
They just go, no, you're wearing little girl socks. Or as they used to be known, peds.
Girls
used to wear
peds.
They're absolutely peds.
No, peds go right
peds
where
are.
The shoe is.
That's where his are.
No, they're higher than
they're
that.
They're higher than that. They're about ankle.
Whatever happened to good old socks that men used to wear? Just put on socks and just go out. And then I was told, I said, why are you wearing those? And then Mike said, well, that's the fashion. You can't wear socks up on your ankles anymore. That's not the fashion. You can't wear that. I wear them when I wear jeans, but if I have shorts on, I have to put on the short socks because that's the fashion.
Yeah, and that's when I decided I was doing the wrong thing.
Who are these people? The fashion people who are telling us what to do. You know what the fashion people have given us over the years?
What?
Acid wash jeans.
Yeah.
Fashion gave us those.
Yeah, it's true.
Fanny packs.
Yep.
Brought to you by fashion.
That's true.
Headbands on men. Fashion.
True.
Parachute pants, fashion.
Yeah.
Skinny ties, Madro shorts,
sure.
Zubaz, Crocs, Uggs, trucker hats. All brought to you courtesy of fashion.
The one thing that you know for a fact is that fashion 5 years from now will mock
absolutely
what it
you're
is
an
now.
Idiot. How dare you wear that? You told me 5 years ago it was cool. No, now we're telling you it's not.
Yeah.
Let me give you a time-lapse conversation with fashion, okay? Hey, fashion. What do you think of my polo shirt? You like my polo shirt? Where's your alligator? Excuse me? Where's your alligator on your polo shirt? What? You have to have an alligator on your polo shirt. All right, I'll put one on there. How do you like my polo shirt now? What? What? You're wearing an alligator on your polo shirt? What's wrong with you? Where's your little guy on a horse with a polo mallet? Where's he? Oh, I don't know. Let me go change it. All right, here's the guy. Here's the polo player. What do you think? You're still wearing polo shirts? What's wrong with you? All right, let me take this polo shirt off. Hey, where's your polo shirt? All right, let me put it back on.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't you pull the collar up on that polo shirt?
Yep.
Excuse me? No, pop the collar. Put it up. Well, it doesn't belong. It's just a small collar. It's you know, it's loose. It's loose fabric. Doesn't really stand up. Put it up. Put the collar up. All right. I'm going to put the collar up, fashion. How do we look now? Hey, put on another shirt. What? Put on another polo shirt. On top. Well, I'm already wearing a polo shirt. Put one on top of the other one. All right. Let me put on two polo shirts. Put on a third. Excuse me? Put on a third polo shirt with all the collars popped up. Wait a minute. You want me to put... It's hot out. You want to put on three polo shirts and put the collars up on all of them?
Right.
Yes. Why? Because I'm fashion. Mm-hmm. Okay? Here's my three polo shirts with the collars up. How do I look now? You look like an ass. Take those off. No one would wear that. That's a conversation with fashion.
That seems pretty accurate, by the way.
It does.
And by the way, that's coming
go.
Back. I was my wife
What's
was watching the
back?
Style network, and there was a guy on a runway with three polo
oh,
shirts with
no.
the collars popped on.
Wow. Really?
No. So Kanye West, it's that freaking Kanye West. That's who we have to blame.
So fashion said yes, no, yes?
That's what fashion does.
What's up with that?
That's what I'm asking!
You were saying earlier that Simon Cowell, who wears these shirts sometimes that are down to his navel with all the hair showing, you're saying that that is now the look, too, right?
Yes, the deep plunging V-neck shirt for men.
All right, I'll get one of those.
Which has been mocked for years as being so out of date, right?
Right. And here's the thing. That's what they get you. Because that's how fashion fools you. They tell you everyone has to wear this. And the only people, by the way, who are slaves to fashion are people who are desperate to stand out or desperate to blend in. Those are the people who are slaves to fashion. Or you have the lightnings of the world who are both. They're desperate to be an individual, so they go over and stand with this crowd of people that's doing one thing. And they think that will make them be more of an individual by joining this crowd. It's insane. So they say, oh, no, you got to, everyone's got to wear this. So then everyone wears it, and they go, oh, no, this isn't fashion anymore because everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
So no one can do it. So then everyone stops doing it, and then 5 years goes by, and then one guy says, you know what? No one is wearing that anymore. No one's put on that members-only jacket anymore. No one's popping their collar anymore. I'm going to do that, and I'm going to stand out. And I come up and say, well, you're a jackhole. But then everyone says, oh, wait a minute, that guy's doing something. Maybe I should do that, too. And then everyone starts doing it again.
Ralph, many emailers are weighing in to ask where wearing women's underwear falls on the fashion curve. So
now, here's my other point.
That's not fashion.
It isn't fashion. It's
gay.
The opposite of fashion.
It's gay.
And here, you're going to find this hard to believe, but my hero in this battle, of all things that fashion, the evil of fashion,
mm-hmm.
Bean Baxter.
Well,
what?
Consistently
what?
The opposite of.
As true. Much we mock Bean for what he wears, and rightly so, he consistently wears whatever he likes, whatever he feels comfortable in, whatever he personally likes. He is not a slave to what other people say you should or shouldn't wear. So even though I think he looks hideous,
he does.
He's a guy who says, this is just what I like to wear, and I'm going to wear that. And I respect that most out of everyone who deals with this fashion nonsense.
I appreciate that, but I not only am wearing the same fashion, in many cases I'm wearing the same clothes that I've been wearing for the last 25 years.
But that's
so
because
it is the same. It's like a uniform for me. It's basically just shorts and a t-shirt and tube socks and sneakers every single day.
Yeah, but sometimes you put on a Rasta hat or
pigtails.
Right? You'll throw in some just hideous thing that no one in their right mind would do, but you do it because you want to do it. And I do, although I disagree with it, I respect the fact that you do.
Fashion knocks at his door and he doesn't answer.
Exactly.
I
and
like
I understand
that.
There's a certain need for fashion. Certainly women live and die by this stuff. But as guys, I'd like to think that maybe we're just a little bit outside of that. We don't have to live by those rules. And if we have to change the size of our ties or the width of our ties or our lapels or whatever to try to stay in a certain realm of fashion, I can even sort of get behind that. But when you start hitting the basics, the things that guys have been wearing for 500 years that we all wear every day, that have worked perfectly fine. Like gloves with fingers on them. for thousands of years, men has been wearing a glove, which is a piece of cloth that wraps around your hand and all five of your fingers, in essence, to keep them warm.
That's so out.
When all of a sudden did we decide that, no, the fingers have no purpose in the glove anymore? Just cut them all off. It's all just bare fingers and covered palms now.
Yeah,
when did
yeah.
that become that that's a good decision to make?
It doesn't make any sense.
You can't have holes in your belt anymore. What, you wearing? You got a belt that has... No more holes in your belt.
How do you tighten it then?
It just tightens around the buckle somehow.
What?
You can't wear socks with things that cover your ankles anymore. That doesn't work. Come on, people, now. Smile on your brother.
All right.
Let's reject facts. Let's send it back to where it came from. Let's say, no, you're not going to get any more of our consumer dollars anymore just by randomly telling us what we should and shouldn't wear every 5 years.
So let me see if I got this straight. You, Ralph Garman, are saying, let's all be like Bean.
I know. It's madness.
That's what you're saying.
But I'm saying wear what you like, wear what's comfortable, wear what expresses your personality. Don't be sucked in by the fashionistas of the world.
There you go. All right. That's a good message for Dave. Don't let the gay Italians win, is
that's
what you're saying, basically.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Very nice.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, have you calmed down enough? Can you
feel good now? See?
You got it off your chest? Is that your system?
That's my therapy.
You don't need a therapist.
I just purge, and then boom, back to life.
And then binge.
Exactly. Then I binge.
Yes. Time for the showbiz beat.
Anna Faris is just adorable. I just love her so much. She's a naughty little minx, too.
Is that right?
She says that when she and her fiancé first met, they would have sex text Wednesdays, where every Wednesday they would text each other the filthiest things they could think of regarding their sex life.
Mm-hmm. That's great till they break up.
Also, it's great until you hit the wrong person on your phone list to send it to.
Yeah.
She said, I was always so terrified I would accidentally send it to my dad because my dad is right below my fiancé on my phone list.
Wow.
That would be terrifying, but that was part of the fun, she said. Now, that never happened. But she did say she accidentally sent a text to a small child.
Oh, no.
Not about sex. But she said, I asked, she won't identify who the kid was, but I asked the small child if they wanted to get drunk with me. I meant it for my friend, but I sent it to this small child instead. The small child responded, I don't know what getting drunk means.
Oh,
so bless
good.
The small child's little heart.
That's
so
awesome.
So she doesn't actually want to get the child drunk. I just wanted to put that to rest.
Small child should have texted back, RDM. Thanks.
That'd be great.
Way ahead of you.
Loaded. How is Anna Faris getting so much hotter every single year, by the way?
She's adorable.
Yeah.
And funny and talented. She's got it all. Unlike Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
Who doesn't have any of it.
The opposite of.
She was recently seen at a party where she was interviewed about her upcoming new My Best Friend show. Paris Hilton's BFF.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Is this the third one?
This is the second one. She said, I've just finished working on my album, and BFF is coming out in a couple of weeks. It's a lot better than last season. I actually found a real friend this time.
Survey says, you.
Yeah, sure you did. How about the first time when it was your best friend?
Right.
What'd you find then?
Yeah.
And then when this one doesn't work out, and they do the third season, what's she going to say about that person?
Yeah.
More celebutante news. The Kardashian sisters.
Glendale.
Are opening up a new boutique in Miami. The night before its grand opening, apparently got tagged with spray paint. They vandalized the outside of the store before it even opened.
Okay.
Kim, Courtney, and Chloe especially were all very upset. They called the local police. No line on who could have vandalized the place yet. But some people believe it is people for the protection of miniskirts who saw Chloe wearing one in Celebrity Apprentice. And thought it was just cruel and inhuman punishment to a piece of clothing.
It is unfair to the family.
It really pushed it to the maximum stretching capacity.
That's so hot.
Brief diversion here. Psycho Mike, did you see Kim Kardashian throwing out the first pitch in a Major League Baseball game?
F her.
What?
Wow.
F, listen, I don't, because Ralph just finished a rant. Stop with the people throwing out the first pitch that can't even do it from 9 feet away. I got to give at least Bean props. At least he threw from the mound. It looked bad, but he made it all the way to the plate from the mound.
Kevin? Wasn't it Kevin?
That was Kevin.
Yeah, Bean, too.
And I didn't make it to the mound.
No, but Bean did, too.
All right. Okay. She was 9 feet away?
Maybe. And
yeah, a lot of times with these celebrities, they don't put them on the mound. They put them, halfway. Was it Mario Lopez who did it this week? He didn't even stand on the mound. He was, like, 15 feet in front of the mound to throw his pitch.
How dare you call yourself a man and throw from that distance? He threw from 6 feet away, and he just kind of, like, fluffed it up there.
How did Whitney Port from The Hills do with throwing out her first pitch this weekend?
That was last night, I believe, so I didn't see.
Oh, Khloe Kardashian, though, would have rocketed it right through the catcher.
Kidding me?
She would have won a Cy Young for her pitch.
It stung my hand.
They were concerned for Russell Martin's health, so they decided to go with Kim.
Trent Edwards, quarterback for the Buffalo Bills,
threw out
a pitch this week.
Yes.
Bounced it.
Professional
quarterback. Supposed to be able to throw 60 yards.
Yeah. Anyone can throw it to the catcher. You got to bounce it. That's the good thing.
The odd part about him is he took batting practice before and jacked like bomb after bomb.
Yeah, I know.
But yet he throws like a girl.
He's a DH. And this is very exciting news for me personally. Maybe for Kevin. I don't know. I can't read him, man.
All right.
Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd have announced that Ghostbusters 3 may be in production as early as this winter.
Fantastic.
Yay!
The final two question marks are in place. Sigourney Weaver and Bill Murray have both signed on, and they're good to go.
I'm excited about that. Ghostbusters is one of the best movies of all time.
Yeah, yeah, but you didn't like 2.
Yeah, it was okay.
I'd love to. It wasn't as good. Well, it wasn't as good. But yeah. This one apparently is going to be the passing of the torch. The original lineup, Bill Murray, Harold Ramis, Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, will be in the film, and they will pass the torch to a brand new generation of Ghostbusters. Apparently will carry on the franchise. That's the plan.
I want a good movie.
The biggest obstacle was Murray, apparently. He was dragging his feet about doing a third.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Aykroyd says, although I'm the biggest cheerleader as the originator of the concept, I've never begrudged Billy for not doing a third movie. I've never said that he held it up or that he refused. He's an artist, and you can't force somebody into it. But it's a story now that he's happy with, and we're going into production fairly soon.
Fantastic.
That's great.
I'm just excited. I mean, I love Harold Ramis. He rarely acts in movies anymore. And Bill Murray rarely does broad comedies anymore. He usually does those indie films now. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to see them back together.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Two potential new Ghostbusters. They're looking for some hot chicks, by the way, to fill out the Ghostbuster jumpsuit.
Okay.
Alyssa Milano and Eliza Dushku have both been in conversation about perhaps starring as the female Ghostbuster.
Now we're talking.
That's what I'm talking about.
Now you're getting somewhere.
As long as they wear those really low socks. They don't get tan lines when they're fighting ghosts. Peds. Today's celebrity birthdays, Bronson Pinchot. Mm-hmm. Where's Bronson Pinchot?
We didn't hear from him. I'm very disappointed.
We put the call out all morning to find out what's going on with Bronson Pinchot, and we have not heard back from him. I hope he's okay.
We said we're going to wait a whole other year to talk to him.
We sent someone over to check on him.
I think we're probably all right not knowing.
All right. He is 50 years old today. Mindy Cohn of Facts of Life. She played Natalie on that show. 43 years old today. Busta Rhymes celebrates his 37th birthday. Jane Wiedlin of the Go-Go's is 51 years old. Cher is 63. You got to give her props.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For 63. I mean, she's really holding up pretty well. I mean, she has a team of specialists working around the clock to keep her strung together with duct tape and glue, but seriously.
Sure, there's that. The historical commission that handles Mount Rushmore keeps that in good shape. They do Mount Rushmore for 6 months, and they do Cher for 6 months.
Look, I'm not saying there isn't maintenance going on. I'm just saying.
Face doesn't move much now.
But boobs are holding up nicely for a gal her age, I'll say that.
The boobs are holding up nicely. And singer Joe Cocker celebrates his 65th. Can't a guy say Cocker around here without getting a juvenile response from you grade school boys? Cocker is a perfectly good name. It is an old English name of great repute, and I will not have Cocker just mocked and disregarded in such a manner. I am here to represent Cocker and stand by Cocker's side. I don't know about you guys.
I hate us now.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, Lisa May, have you heard about the Chinese sex theme park?
No, I haven't, actually.
Well, the investment turned out to be as risky as it was risque, says the article. There was a sex theme park called Loveland that was supposed to be opening in China. It was under construction right now, but apparently they have pulled the plug. It will no longer be allowed to open. And I don't know what the deal is with that, but we have an investor in the Loveland theme park on the line with us right now. And I'm sorry, sir, I see the name here, but I cannot even begin to know how to pronounce it. What shall I call you?
Lu Xiaoqing.
What?
Lu Xiaoqing.
Lu Xiaoqing is the name. All right.
Good for you, Ramdai.
Well, I go fine, but you must be very disappointed. I know you were an investor in Loveland. You must be very upset that the government has pulled the plug.
I was the main investor in Loveland, and I am horribly heartbroken that it's not going to happen. Not just for me, but for all the people of China.
Right. Now, they didn't just pull the plug. It's not like they revoked the permit. They actually sent in a wrecking ball and started tearing the place to the ground this weekend after photos got out of the construction.
Yeah, they came with their big Chinese balls and started swinging their big balls around. And boy, do those balls wreak some havoc here in my theme park.
Right, demolition balls. We're talking, it's a construction term that we're talking about,
whatever.
Right? Okay, so some of the exhibits included giant-sized reproductions of male and female anatomy. Now, who is that for?
Listen, the sex education system in China is so bad. I was trying to educate people about what the genitalia look like. so as everyone could have educational experience. Please come and wonder at the giant Wang. Please and walk through the gardens of Volva. Look at the look at all this straight hair that comes out of it.
Oh, wow. Wow.
But it's true. They got straight hair. There.
Well, I think maybe some things are private or maybe best left for, you know, conversation in a classroom. I don't know that a
Better shave the f*** off.
Okay, all right.
That's what they should do. I like my hardwood floor.
Yeah.
Lou, who was the theme park in your eyes meant to be for? It was for school children or is for shy adults or who?
No, stop it. It's for grown up. Come, learn about sex, have good time.
Okay.
Ride the roller coaster.
Okay. What were some of the other things besides the life-size genitalia that was on display?
Well, we have theme park rides, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We have a swing ride that goes all round and round and round called the Ropey Strands of.
Okay. No.
Look, really? I don't know about China, but we can't say things like that on the radio here in America.
We got a lovely food court we were going to build. You could go get Chinese food there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we had a hot soup every day. Some young.
Okay. You know what? I think it's good that they pulled the plug.
Yeah, that's awful.
Why are you so moaning over there?
That doesn't sound like a fun time at all. That just sounds icky, Lou.
And then, of course, we had Rape Alley.
Oh, no.
Who would want to go in Rape Alley?
Nobody.
What? Excuse me?
Nobody wanted to go there. That's why we had to close that ride down.
Okay. Yeah,
that was not well thought out on our part.
I suggest you go back to the drawing board, maybe try something else for next time.
Maybe something with a mouse that talks.
There you go. Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde.
Don't do that. Stop it.
Don't do that.
That's terrible.
Wednesday afternoon. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up in just a few minutes. Don't forget, keep listening for Green Day. When you hear it, be caller 20. So you're telling me that last night the Denver Nuggets brought the best they had, played out of their minds, still lost in the last 15 seconds to the Los Angeles Lakers. That's what you're telling me.
Yes. It's a good thing that the Nuggets can't shoot free throws. That's all I got to say. They left like 12 of them out there on the floor. It would have been an even closer game than it was just the 2 points at the end of the game had they been able to sink some of those.
But, yes.
I'm telling you, it's going to be. What, Toby have, 40?
40 points.
Yes. Carmelo had 39.
39, right?
That's right.
I'm telling you, it's going to be a hard-fought series.
Denver has never won a postseason game against L.A., Mike. Is that right?
I can't think of one. I mean,
they haven't been in the postseason since
1985, I think, was the last time they were in the Western Conference Finals.
Right, but I mean, they've been in earlier rounds. I mean, the Lakers swept them last year.
Last
for
season,
instance.
They swept them. So, yeah, I can't think of in recent history the last time Denver beat LA in a postseason game.
Well, I will tell you, and I know that I'm going to take some grief for this, but I think it's time to change something the way it's done at Staples Center. And I know that you guys don't agree with me, but I've had about an ass full of the defense chant.
How can you have an ass full of the defense chant? It is time tested. It is as old as sport. It's in all sports, not just basketball. It's everywhere.
Yeah. I remember doing that in high school during football.
What does it add to the game, Ralph?
It shows that the fans are being supportive of their team. As that's the purpose of the fans, is to show enthusiasm and to back the play of your home team.
I don't have any problem with the fans being loud, exuberant, enthusiastic.
It's fun.
You want them to be loud, but you want to control what they say and how they're loud.
No, I mean, clearly they do it because it's been done before. They do it because it's the tradition. I'm saying, why not come up with something more constructive, more useful, more helpful than defense, which is something that doesn't do anything because everybody already knows, oh, yeah, we need to play defense to stop the other team from scoring.
They're cheering
for
the defense.
They're not telling them what to do. They're not telling them get on the defense. They are encouraging the guys who are playing D to get pumped up to play the best D that they can.
It's a sign of camaraderie between the crowd and the players. We identify what you're about to do, and we're behind you. That's what they're saying. I don't think they assume that the people in the crowd assume that they forgot what they're going to do unless they cheer them on and tell them to play defense.
I don't like it. I don't dig it. I don't care for it.
What would you have them say when the Nuggets have the ball and they're coming down the court and it's getting towards the end of the game and you're trying to keep them from scoring points? What would you have the fans at Staples chant and cheer for the Lakers to hear?
I don't know. It just seems like something that would be a little bit more pointed against the Nuggets, something that's not quite as generic. Let me hear a little bit of the TV audio from last night's Laker game, please.
Shot clock at 8. Bryant on the drive. Corner, Fisher, three-pointer. It's good! Lakers take the lead.
There it is.
First lead of the fourth quarter after trailing by seven.
I'm getting a headache.
Awesome.
I'm getting a headache.
Everybody in unison last night, roaring volume, saying defense together. You can't tell me that the Lakers did not get geeked because of that. They did not get goosebumps and get amped and play even tougher defense.
And by the way, if any team in the finals needs to be reminded to play defense, it might be the Lakers.
Good point. That is a good point, actually.
That might be excellent advice to be giving them, actually, in that situation, is to tell them to play some defense.
I hadn't thought about that, but most teams are out there playing defense every game. The Lakers maybe do need a little bit of a reminder. That's actually an excellent point. I don't know. It just seems like at this point there ought to be something better that could be chanted.
What could be more succinct or more apropos than defense when a team is playing defense?
I would prefer, Denver sucks, to tell you the truth. I mean, at least that has got a little bite to it. It's got a little something that might...
Ouch.
How's that going to help the Lakers?
That might get... At least something like that might get inside the Nuggets' head because they'll have to listen to that.
Are you crazy?
Defense just rolls off your back. That's all I'm saying.
Do you really
think... Doesn't have any effect on players of either side, really.
Do you really think professional athletes, the guys on the Denver Nuggets... would somehow get rattled by people telling them they suck.
I'm going to sit down. These guys are mean.
I'm saying it's got to be more effective than defense. It has to be.
Is this hold true in all sports, Bean? When a team is playing football and the defense is on the field and they're trying to stop the offense, you don't want anyone to cheer for the defense then either?
I think it's time to retire the defense chant and come up with something better. That's all I'm suggesting. Look, I know it's not going to happen tomorrow. I know it's not going to happen this season or next, but at some point, I think collectively we need to sit down and go, it's played out, it's lame, it doesn't contribute anything to the game, there's got to be something better that we can chant. That's all I'm suggesting. I'm just trying to throw it out there. And you can mock me now, but 10 years from now, when we're chanting something better, you're going to say,
I'm glad
Pete brought that up.
I know what we'll be cheering.
Bean! 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 Bean!
I guess what I'm saying is that if Jack White cared about rock music, he would be in more bands. He would start more different bands and keep them all going at the same time.
I agree.
That's my point. Yeah. I know. He's only got the White Stripes, which I guess he's working on now. He's got the Rockin' Tours, who are temporarily on hiatus. He's touring with Dead Weather, his other band. I think they're coming to the Wiltern soon. That is Icky Thump on the world-famous K-Rock. Kevin Bean, Cinco de la Tarde. Nicole Alvarez with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock coming up. But first, Ralph, what you talking about in the showbiz beat?
I can't wait to see the new Blue Man Group movie.
What?
Yes. The Blue Man Group is now going to star in their own feature film.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man Group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
Okay. Right. It's going to be an origin story where they come out and they paint their faces red. Right. And then someone says, wait a minute, you're the Blue Man Group.
How they went blue.
Yeah. Apparently the movie will be about the blue men entering the brain of a socially and creatively congested person. I didn't know Kevin was co-starring with them in this movie. Observing his neural patterns and his habitual brain functions and memory, and then altering it in a way that helps him bring his inside life outside.
Oh, my God.
That's
I
the
want
Blue Man
a good movie.
Well, you may have to wait a while.
Will it be like a Mr. Bean type physical comedy, light on the dialogue kind of deal?
Well, considering they are largely mute in their show, I'm assuming it will be largely physical, yes.
Wow.
Sounds bad.
Bad, yeah.
Yes, it does. Speaking of movies, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Nope.
She's in a new movie called Two Lovers with Joaquin Phoenix.
Uh-huh.
And the director of that movie was asked by her to judge her boobs before she did a nude scene. James Gray, the director of Two Lovers, said that Gwyneth asked him to come to her trailer. And she said, I don't care about the nudity. I'll give you everything you need, but I've had two children, and I just don't think they look very good anymore. Do me a favor. Come into my trailer and look at my boobs, and if you think they're okay, I'll do it. So the director did what he had to do. He marched in there, and he said, I told her they looked great. So she went ahead and did the nude scene, and James Gray immediately cast her in his next film. It's called Two Nectarines in Knee Socks.
Yeah.
She'll be starring in that as well, so looking forward to seeing that.
How do you get one of those jobs where part of your day is Gwyneth Paltrow calling you into the trailer to look at her topless? Where do you sign up for that?
Stop acting like that's a perk, will you?
That's a way perk.
That's a price you have to pay. That's a price you have to pay for your art. That's not a good thing.
You saw some booby in Shakespeare in Love. She looked good, Ralph. Granted, that was,
yeah, it was 40 you know, years ago.
Pre-children, I guess. But
she's not, no, not good.
She's a pretty woman, though.
Nope. You gotta, that was Julia Roberts, first of all. She wasn't even in that. It was Julia Roberts.
She's an attractive woman, is what I'm saying.
Rachel Bilson and her fiancé Hayden Christensen share a home. And apparently while they were vacationing in Canada, their home was broken into and robbed. People magazine says the thieves made off with her collection of vintage shoes, as well as her handbag collection and a TV set.
Must have been a woman.
Yeah, really, who's stealing vintage shoes?
And purses.
Police have a theory. They're saying the robbers were looking for talent in the home, could find none, and so just left with what they thought they could pawn.
Nice. I will not
see, because Rachel
you...
Bilson, Hayden Christensen, good. That's who lives
Come
there.
Come on.
I feel you.
I'm just saying.
I got no problems with Miss Bilson's work, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
She's okay.
Based on what?
Based on I love her.
In her tour de force performance in Jumpers? Is that what you're basing this on? She's an actress? Her work in The O.C.? Her Emmy Award-winning work in The O.C.?
What about you're just jealous. You know, if you fixed yourself up a little, men would find you attractive, too.
All right.
Instead of wondering if you're in the middle of gender reassignment surgery.
All right, easy there. Just say, I don't know what she's been good in.
Sarah Marshall, she was okay in that.
Yeah, she was real good in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
I thought that was Mila Kunis.
Same thing.
All right.
Mila Kunis was in Sarah Marshall.
Yeah. I mean, you can't just name movies that you like, Lisa, just because you want to defend
Godfather 2. Godfather 2, she was good in that.
I'm
she
sorry,
was
outstanding.
She played Fredo. She was good in that. Would you like to take that back?
I would like to take that back.
All right. We got one for Lisa. Today's celebrity birthdays, singer Joe Cocker celebrates his 65th birthday. Oh, would you please stop it?
When do we get our murder button?
Good question. Singer-actress Cher celebrates her 63rd birthday. Jane Wiedlin of the Go-Go's is 51 years old. Bronson Pinchot.
Yeah.
We still don't know what Bronson's up to.
Balky. The last time we saw Bronson, he was on This Real Life, right? That was the last we kind of saw in the public
right.
eye.
I forgot he did that.
Yeah. I just remember him breaking down and crying.
There's our answer, by the way, for how he's doing. Not well.
I remember... what's her name? The I'm the first supermodel lady.
Mila Kunis?
Yes.
Janice Dickinson.
Rachel Bilson?
Got hammered and told a story about how she was molested as a kid at the dinner table,
right.
And he broke down crying.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I know, guys.
Yeah.
Bronson?
All right. Good for you, Bronson. And Busta Rhymes is 37 years old today. Well, you got a lot of noises coming out of you today,
that's
Mike.
That's my Busta.
That's your Busta?
That's my Busta.
I thought that was your retarded John Travolta.
I did that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.